Oh, the good news just keeps on coming. The good news keeps on coming, guys. The takeover is complete. Yes, indeed. Tonight was the start of a new era in WWE. Tonight was the beginning of the Triple H era from Madison Square Garden. The first, well, WWE MSG show without Vince McMahon in 40 years. Been a long time. For the first time in years, I was excited to watch an episode of Monday Night Raw. It's not very often that you see me live here on a Monday night on YouTube. Usually, you know, we wait until the weekend, we talk about Raw because, you know, for me to sit through 3 hours and come on here every week is just, you know, torture. That's how they torture prisoners of war. But SummerSlam is coming up on Saturday night. Didn't make a whole lot of sense to wait until Sunday to talk about a go-home show when the pay-per-view is already going to be over. But obviously, today was also a special day because we had some very big news that broke this morning. And I was excited. I was not at Madison Square Garden tonight, obviously, even though it was in my backyard. But I was excited to watch an episode of Monday Night Raw. Not because I expected major changes, you know, this quickly, but it was a Monday Night Raw episode for the first time under a new regime, under new leadership. The Click takeover is now complete. We have Shawn Michaels running things, creatively running things in NXT, and now on the main roster, Triple H. Triple H has ascended. You've got HBK down there. You've got Triple H up here. I guess the Click ended up running the show. We're running the show back in the mid-90s. So history repeats itself. The Click is once again running the show again here in WWE. But change has come. Was that change visible tonight? A little bit. Not a lot. I enjoyed the first hour of Raw. I actually thought the first hour of the show was solid. I thought the second hour and the third hour is where things took a nosedive, as it usually does. That's usually the pattern for Monday Night Raw. Occasionally, they will start strong. They can't sustain it for the full 3 hours, but that main event was a quality main event. I enjoyed that six-man tag team main event at the end of the show. The message I would give to you, Rome was not built in a day. I don't know that anybody was honestly expecting massive wholesale changes here on day one. They have a pay-per-view coming up this weekend. Okay, this Saturday is SummerSlam. We are 5 days away from one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year. Some would say the second biggest, some would say the third, depending on where you put the Royal Rumble, but SummerSlam is one of the biggest shows all year long, and we are 5 days away from that show. Nobody was expecting there to be major changes because they have a pay-per-view card that's already finalized. They only added one match to the show tonight. The SummerSlam card was already set. They're already in the middle of promoting matches for this pay-per-view. So you could not have come into the show tonight expecting there to be, you know, some kind of explosion where they blow everything up and they change everything. I mean, that's not going to happen on night one. But let's back up a little bit here because we do have to get into some stuff before we even talk about this show. And that is the fact that this morning, WWE made the announcement. They made it official earlier today that Paul Levesque, who on Friday, and I know it got drowned out in the news of Friday afternoon once Vince McMahon retired, which, by the way, we found out today that he did not retire. I told you anyway, it was bullshit. But now we know why he retired, even though it wasn't a retirement. He resigned. We'll get into that too. But that drowned out the news of Friday morning that Triple H was back in his old position as the head of talent relations in WWE. Bruce Pritchard had been named interim head of talent relations when John Laurinaitis was placed on administrative leave. John Laurinaitis, as far as anybody knows, is still on administrative leave. John Laurinaitis will be on permanent administrative leave. So Triple H gets his old job back. It got completely overshadowed by the news about Vince McMahon. We come to find out this morning that not only is he the head of talent relations, but Triple H now adds the head of WWE creative to his list of responsibilities. He has taken over for Vince, and very appropriate for somebody who used to run all these takeover events. He has now taken over the responsibilities that were formerly occupied by Vince McMahon. It's the role that for years, up until relatively recently, it was the role that it seemed like for years he was being groomed for. He used to sit in on production meetings back in the late 90s. So this guy has been getting ready for a very long time to be in a position like this. And for the longest time, it looked like that whenever Vince finally croaked, because he was never going to give it up, whenever Vince was gone, Triple H was going to be the one to get the keys to the kingdom, and he was going to ascend to the throne. And then all of a sudden, things changed. And it's amazing to think about how these events have unfolded. Here is a guy who went from being groomed as the heir apparent to seemingly falling out of favor with his father-in-law. He had one job, and he lost. NXT got its ass handed to it by AEW. And that was very embarrassing. That did not win Triple H any plaudits, any flowers, any goodwill from upper management in WWE, most importantly from his father-in-law. So he failed that test in his eyes. He goes from that to almost dying. And then we all know what they did to NXT, and they dismantled his team. Very few people who were on his team are still down there. Man, again, came very close to death. And now, look at where we are now. Look at where we are today. Look at where Triple H is now. You can call this, you know, DDP had a movie that came out a number of years ago called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. I would call this the resurrection of Triple H, because it seemed like this guy was a sure thing until he wasn't, and he was almost being written off. Remember all those memes online when you know they were tearing down NXT, and it looked like, you know, his health issues, obviously we didn't know if he was going to come back, and all the memes went around Triple H is all elite, you know, would Triple H go work for Tony Khan, which was, of course, was ridiculous. But to go from all of that to where we are now, where he is basically running the show, if that's not a resurrection, I don't know what is. But according to Fightful Select, Triple H held a meeting with talent just before Monday Night Raw tonight. The meeting was said to have gone very well, with there being optimism in regards to Triple H's new role as the head of creative. Fightful noted that Triple H led the meeting and promised the talent transparency that some of them feel did not, or might feel, did not exist under the previous regime. He also said that he wants open lines of communication between himself and talent, and that he wants work in WWE, those who are working in WWE, he wants it to be fun. He wants to bring the fun back. He wants to bring the F back. Let's bring the F back. Remember all those years ago, they got the F out? Let's bring the F back in to WWE. Maybe that could be one of the changes that Triple H makes. He can work out a deal with the Panda people. We can get back to the WWF. All these reports about TV-14, we'll bring back the WWF, too. Let's get the F back in. People are excited. I mean, obviously, there are people on social media and people on YouTube and everything who are losing their minds, and they're you know, going a little overboard, I think, but you know, people are excited. People are excited because it looks like for the first time there's real change coming. Where before, real change was not possible so long as the previous regime was still there and there were no signs that that was ever going to change. So there was nothing to really get excited about. The product really hasn't radically changed in many, many years. It was the same old shit every single week. And so now people are excited. And I'm excited. I'm excited because this is a change that has been needed for, honestly, for nearly a decade now, if you want to be perfectly honest. This is a change that has been at least a decade in the making. The product is not what it used to be. It hasn't been what it used to be. It's never going to be exactly what it was. But the product used to be fun. It used to be somewhat unpredictable. There were, you know, just it was fun to put your TV on and be able to tune into Raw. And be able to tune into SmackDown. You look forward to watching those shows. And people have been waiting for years to get back to that. There to be that level of excitement for wanting to sit down and watch these shows and not be able to predict everything that was going to happen on that show, right down to the way the segments are formatted before they even happen. That's what I mean when I say it's just felt like Groundhog Day now over a decade period. So people are excited. And like I said, I'm excited. I'm excited because it is someone other than Vince McMahon leading WWE creative. I am excited as someone who was a fan of the black and gold era under Triple H's leadership. You know, for a time, NXT was the best WWE weekly television offering. It had a certain energy about it. It just had a certain feeling to it that made it fun to watch. And it was an easy watch, too, because back when NXT was on the network, it was an hour long. Actually, it wasn't even a full hour. It was more like 48 minutes or something. But you got an hour-long show, right? Now, I understand Raw can't be an hour. SmackDown can't be an hour. There's a lot of talent that need to be featured. I'm not saying make all the shows 60 minutes, but it was an easy watch. There were interesting characters. You know, I had my favorites who I like to follow. Triple H was also bringing in indie talent. I know some people are against that, but there were a lot of talented people that he brought in. And you could look up and down the WWE main roster right now, whether it's a Sami Zayn, who I think is doing some of the best work of his career. I very much enjoy Sami's character work. It's one of the few redeeming things about SmackDown every week when Sami is featured. Kevin Owens, who has been an unsung MVP in this company, willing to do whatever is asked of him, always falling through the cracks. I was so happy for him when he got that main event at WrestleMania against Stone Cold Steve Austin. Even Sami said on the Broken Skull Sessions this week, as Stone Cold sat down and talked to him, and he even said that he and KO were talking about their matches at WrestleMania this year, because Sami loved his match with Johnny Knoxville. He says one of the best matches of his career. And he said that Kevin felt the same way about his match with Austin. He made the comment to Sami that, "I don't need to do anything else for the rest of my career. I main evented a WrestleMania with Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was like an idol of his, right? Met him when he was a kid." So I was really happy to see him get that moment, because so many times before, Owens just kind of would feel like a lost soul, right? He wasn't even on the show tonight. Has no match at SummerSlam. But Kevin Owens is one of many who worked under Triple H and NXT. Triple H brought them in. He signed them. He saw something in them. Many of them did go on to the main roster. Not all of them have had success. I don't blame Triple H for that. Kevin Owens is one of those people. You could talk about Sami Zayn. We can rattle off a bunch of people who have been called up from NXT over the years. But the reality is there was a certain energy and feel to those shows back in the prime era of the black and gold that, if they could recapture even a small part of that, would freshen up things on the main roster in a very noticeable way. But again, Triple H was the belle of the ball back then during the black and gold days. You know, I can remember a time when people on the Reddit forum on Reddit sent him a fruit basket. They sent a fruit basket to Titan Tower to Triple H after that NXT TakeOver R Evolution show. God, I mean, we're probably going back 6 or 7 years now. There were so many great takeovers that some of them kind of blend together, but I think it was our evolution, and they sent him a fruit basket. I remember he tweeted about it. He tweeted a picture and said, "Thank you, Reddit, for the fruit basket." Right? People were, "Oh my God, Triple H," right? They were bowing to Triple H because they were happy. They were excited. They actually had a WWE show that they could watch and have fun following. Now, I wouldn't get the fruit basket ready just yet. Monday Night Raw still has one very big problem that even Vince McMahon being gone is not going to solve. There is one very big problem with Monday Night Raw that Vince McMahon being gone cannot fix, because it is a USA Network issue. And that is the fact that Monday Night Raw is 3 hours every single week. This month, in fact, 10-year anniversary, since Raw went permanently to 3 hours on a weekly basis. This show does not need to be 3 hours long. This show should not be 3 hours long. And that is not something that I don't believe is in Triple H's control. So what do? You throw your hands up in the air and give up? Or do you try to make the show better? We know the show is long, but that doesn't mean that you can't make an effort to try to make the show better, try to give people fresh matches. Maybe try to format the show in a different way. Change the look of the show in a different way. Change the promo styles, the way promos are shot. There's so many little things that can be done. You take a whole bunch of little things and it adds up to a big change. There are things that can be done to freshen up Monday Night Raw. We saw some of that tonight, even the way the show opened. So there are things that I think Triple H can absolutely do to make the 3 hours more tolerable. And again, if he can get even a fraction of the energy for those old NXT TakeOver shows, you know, he was able to put something very special together there for several years. So yes, I am excited that maybe he could take a small part of that and apply that to the main roster, because Vince McMahon did his own thing. Vince McMahon was never going to do what Triple H did in NXT. Vince McMahon would be the first person to tell Triple H what you do there would not work in front of a mainstream audience here on the main roster. Why not? Why not? Triple H now is going to have an opportunity to try, I'm not saying fill the shows with indie guys, not what I'm saying. Triple H is going to have an opportunity now to test that theory out, and we'll see. We'll see if we start to see changes to the main roster shows that mirror the way that he was booking and the way that he was not even writing television, but just the way that he put together those shows. Maybe we can get more compelling stories. Maybe we can get more focus on the mid-card and focus on the mid-card titles. Maybe we can loosen the handcuffs a little more on promos. Maybe we can avoid 5,000 fucking rematches on television every single week. Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe we can stop ruining guys with crap gimmicks when they get called up. Max Dupree being the latest victim of that. Maybe we can put an end to that. Maybe we can put an end to the 24/7 title. Hey, you know what I didn't see on the show tonight? I didn't see the 24/7 crap belt. I don't need to see that belt ever again. I would love it if it just quietly faded away. That was one of the positives about the show tonight. No 24/7 stuff. No 24/7 geek parade running across my screen. Get rid of that too. I'm very hopeful about something else too. I'm very hopeful for the future when it comes to the NXT call-ups. You know, getting called up to the main roster from NXT has been a death sentence for so many people. For every success story like a Bianca Belair, and there have been success stories. For every one of them, there's two or three people who have been called up, and look, you're going to have people who get called up who just aren't going to make it. There are baseball players who get called up. There are football players who get, you know, they get on the field, work, you know, playing for an NFL team, and they're just not good enough to make it. You know, they don't make the cut. Not everybody is going to make it and become a star, but there are plenty of people who should have had an opportunity and could have made it, who had their legs cut out from underneath them and never even had a shot. Because of one person who either didn't get them, looked at them and didn't see what the big deal was about them, gave them a gimmick that didn't fit them, and it killed them. There's lots of different reasons why people get called up from NXT and they fail and they don't succeed. So that's another thing that I'm excited for, because Triple H, I'm sure, he used to have to bite his tongue when he would see that. I'm sure he would be watching this and just shaking his head, powerless to do anything about it. I've used the analogy before. It's like when you're in NXT, it's like someone nurturing a baby bird until they're healthy enough to fly on their own. And then what happens, right? They fly from NXT, they fly to Raw, they fly to SmackDown, and they fly right into a fucking wall. It's happened countless times. The fact that Triple H's best friend is running NXT now, right? They're both, like, Triple H is here, Shawn Michaels is running things down there. That gives me a lot of hope. That gives me a lot of hope that Triple H is not going to do what Vince McMahon did. Triple H is not going to call people up, call these men and women up from NXT and ruin them. He's not going to call them up unless there's a plan for them. Those were his words many years ago. I don't want to call people up. I don't want to send people from NXT unless there's a plan for them. There should be a 6-month plan for what we're going to do with these people. Otherwise, What are you calling them up for if you don't know what to do with them, right? Well, now Triple H is going to be able to put his money where his mouth is. And my hope is that when people get called up, they have a plan for them. And they don't give up on them. They devote a lot of time, right, to promoting these people and putting them on television down there and helping them craft their characters. They spend years on some of these people. There are people who spend years in developmental. Tyler Breeze, when he was in the company, he was in developmental for 5 years. This was it for him. He was on his last legs, his last gimmick. And actually, with Triple H's help, they were able to come up with this character, and that was it. He was off to the races, and he ended up spending years in the company. So you're gonna devote all of this time and effort into these people just to call them up and then drop the axe. It never really made any sense to me. But Vince McMahon never gave two shits about NXT. It wasn't his. He didn't create it. It wasn't his baby. He didn't get it. He didn't watch it. He didn't follow it. You think he sat there watching NXT every week? It wasn't his. He had no personal stake in it. He had no personal attachment to it the way that Triple H did, because Triple H is the one who was in charge of that whole developmental system from the moment the doors of the Performance Center opened. That's a very big difference now from where we were before. That gives me hope that maybe I won't have to shake my head when I hear that somebody else is about to get called up from NXT. If I tell you what, if I worked in NXT, if I was down there, I'd be throwing a fucking party at the PC. I would be throwing a fucking party down there. They should be ecstatic right now. They are the ones who should be the happiest about this news, are the people who are currently working down there, hoping to one day get the call up to Raw and SmackDown, because the chances of them finding success just increased tenfold. And now maybe it won't feel like a waste of time if you do watch NXT, and not as many people watch NXT as they used to. But if you do, maybe now you won't necessarily have to sit there and feel like, what am I doing wasting my time, because none of this is going to matter, right? Maybe now it'll matter. Yeah, I'm also reminded as I'm talking about the difference between Vince McMahon and Triple H, and I'll throw one more example out there, and it's just one example. But Triple H has always struck me, and the stories about Triple H have always struck me. He's a wrestling guy. He's an old school wrestling guy. He grew up watching Flair and the NWA and all that. And I'm always reminded of the War Games story, because it was Triple H who wanted to bring War Games to the main roster many years ago. And Vince McMahon had no interest. He didn't want to do it, right? They had the Elimination Chamber. That was their answer to War Games. And Triple H tried. He tried, I believe, many, many times, in fact. And he couldn't convince him. So one day, Triple H said, well, fuck it. We're gonna do it in NXT. And he brought War Games back to NXT. And I always thought it was a mystery to me. Why is there no War Games match in WWE? That was always, such a fun match to watch. And such a unique match with the two rings and the cage over it. And Triple H was a big fan of it. Vince just wouldn't go for it. Triple H did it himself in NXT. Again, one small example. What other ideas that Triple H might have, I wonder, that maybe Vince McMahon has rejected? Or that Triple H never even bothered to pitch because he knew that his father-in-law wouldn't go for it? What other ideas does this guy have in his head? I'm sure he's got plenty. Just like you and I and all the viewers, right? We watch these shows every week. We have our own ideas of what we'd like to see. I'm sure Triple H has his own ideas. I get the sense that Triple H's ideas might jive more with people like you and me, because we're wrestling fans. And a lot of you are old school wrestling fans who have been watching this now for 30, 40 years, 50 years in some cases. I tend to think that your vision and my vision, our vision, probably mirrors more of Triple H's vision than Vince McMahon. That gives me hope as well. Now, Bruce Pritchard is a name that's been popping up all day long. I saw Bruce Pritchard and Kevin Dunn. They have been trending over the course of this weekend. I don't think I've ever seen Kevin Dunn trending on Twitter before. And there it was. There was his name, and I got really excited because I thought, oh boy, maybe he resigned, or maybe he got shit canned. And It was just people talking about him because they're so excited about the possibility that Kevin Dunn, who is responsible for the production of this show every single week, might no longer be there. Well, before I get to him, let's talk about Bruce. Per Fightful Select, Bruce Pritchard will remain with the company. He will remain for the time being as part of WWE Creative. He had been the lead of the creative team with Vince McMahon having final say on everything. So basically, he was the one answering to Vince McMahon. So Bruce is now going to be reporting to Triple H instead of Vince. And he will remain as part of creative for the time being. Not surprising, Bruce Pritchard has been back in the company now for a couple of years and has, you know, been given a lot of responsibilities. It's not a situation where you can just get rid of the guy, right? He's been working there for a while. He's ingrained in the system. They gave him a lot of responsibilities. And so I would expect that he'll be part of that team for a period of time. Do I see Bruce Pritchard, though, being part of this team long term? I don't, because Bruce Pritchard was and always will be a Vince McMahon guy. And that is not what Triple H needs around him right now. Triple H needs Triple H guys. Stephanie needs her own people. Stephanie had her own people. Stephanie had people around her, and they fired her entire team many months ago. That's what makes this whole thing so unbelievable to me. Because it was such a foregone conclusion that one day it was going to be Triple H and Stephanie running the show. And then it just seemed like things changed. And Triple H, I talked about his team. Stephanie had a team around her as well in the tower. And most or all of those people got fired many months ago. And then she took her own leave of absence from the company, which lasted all of three or four weeks. And then she was back. But Stephanie needs her own people. Triple H needs his own people. Vince had all of his yes men around him. I don't think yes men are a good thing. If I were in that position, I don't want people who are just going to say yes to everything I say. I want to surround myself with smart, capable people who can do the job. Yes, we might be like-minded in many ways, but they're also willing to challenge me on certain things. That's what makes a good team. Vince McMahon had all of these corporate stooges and all these yes men, whether it was people like Laurinaitis or Pritchard and some of the other agents and people who have worked for him over the years in his inner circle. All these yes men, that's exactly what we don't need. That's what we need less of. Triple H needs his own people. Bruce Pritchard is not a Triple H person. He has worked for Vince McMahon now on and off for the better part of three decades plus, or close to it. I guess he missed about a decade after he got fired the last time. That is not what Triple H needs. So he'll stick around for a while, and hopefully in due time, he'll be phased out. A USA Network source called this an exciting change. That was also in the Fightful report. And interestingly, you don't need Fightful to tell you that, because USA Network actually posted a story about the change on their own website. Nice big headline, big photo of Triple H. So it's pretty clear that USA Network is excited about the move. So that's a good sign, I would say, for the future. You don't know what the future holds, but I think there is a lot of reason for optimism. I'll tell you one person who is not excited about any of this. USA might be excited. I might be excited. You might be excited. You know who isn't excited? Kevin Dunn. You know why? Because he's done. That's why. Done is done. It's only a matter of time. I'm sure he was in the truck tonight, working as he usually does. I hope he enjoys it. I hope he enjoys himself. He must really love his job to be there for so long, right? All the job security that he's enjoyed over the years, I'm sure he must love it. I hope he enjoys these final days and weeks. I said it on the podcast yesterday. Pack a bag. I will happily buy you the Greyhound ticket to send you on your way. Another one of those stooges who does not need to be there anymore. A Vince McMahon guy. And the story on him for years, and this is going back years, again, when people assumed that Triple H and Stephanie would take over one day, they said he is not a favorite of Triple H and Stephanie. Kevin Dunn is most definitely not a Triple H guy. And the belief has always been that when the day finally came that Triple H took over, Kevin Dunn would basically be a dead man walking. And that's exactly what he is right now. Kevin Dunn is a dead man walking in WWE, and I love it. I love it. Even tonight, we still had the constant camera cuts and the shaky cam and all the bullshit. And you know what? The sooner he's gone, the better. Even more than Bruce. Even more than Bruce Pritchard. The sooner they get rid of Kevin Dunn and get somebody new in there, the better. Only a matter of time. All that we know is that Triple H is in charge and all of these people are on borrowed time. Paul Heyman is a name that I wanted to bring up here because now that we know Triple H is heading creative, he's going to need people to support him in his own inner circle. Bruce is there right now, but I don't think he will be long term. Who else could help Triple H? Who else could help contribute in a creative way? And I keep coming back to the name Paul Heyman, who is already under contract with WWE. He's under a performer contract. We see him on television. He was the executive director of Raw. Vince McMahon told him, "You're doing a great job," but he fired him from the position. So he, hey, if I work for somebody who fired me for doing a great job, I wonder, I hate to know what he would do to me if I was doing a bad job. So the only role that Heyman has right now is as an on-screen character with the Bloodline. Feels like a waste to me. Because as good as he is on camera and doing promos, he could also contribute behind the scenes in an official capacity, I think, and really help this company out. So now I come back to creative. There has to be a role. There has to be a creative role in some way on this in this company for Paul Heyman. And I think Paul Heyman, working together with Triple H or working under Triple H and contributing in some way to the overall team, is exactly what this company needs. You already have him as a natural resource. He's already there. Tap into that resource, take advantage of it, because even when he was the executive director of Raw, you know, we heard about how he's really, you know, kind of laser focused on trying to get some of these newer faces over, some of these newer talents. And he was a big fan of certain people. And I remember the Street Profits. He was a big fan of theirs. I definitely think he should have a role in this. Triple H, I think, would be a fool not to tap into that in some way. So hopefully he'll get involved there. Interestingly, Wade Keller on the Pro Wrestling Torch site had a story about this because people were wondering, well, what's the relationship with Paul Heyman and Stephanie McMahon? You go back 20 years, Stephanie was no fan of Heyman's. We can get into the stories about what happened when Heyman would eavesdrop on certain conference calls. That was when the brands were very competitive. That was the beginning of the brand split with Raw and SmackDown. Heyman was writing for SmackDown. There's stories of him, you know, being on a conference call, I think with Stephanie or whoever. And then everybody hangs up and he doesn't hang up. He puts his thing on mute and he's eavesdropping and stuff. So There was a lot of animosity there, and Stephanie was not very fond of Heyman and his antics back in the day. Well, Heyman now, you know, 20 years have gone by. Everybody is older. Everybody has matured. Heyman now, he's a family man, right? He's a lot older. And according to the Torch, the belief, the story, is that he and Stephanie actually get along really well. They're very friendly with each other, and they get along very well these days. So there's no bad blood or animosity there or anything like that. So I think Triple H and Heyman in a creative capacity is a winning combination. You also have to prepare for the future. And I don't know how many writers they currently have on staff, probably too many, but they have writers, they have younger people, right, writing for them, I would assume. Working under somebody like Paul Heyman, like Gabe Sapolsky did, he was an understudy of Heyman's back in the original ECW, they should also be working to try to get some of these people primed and ready to step into that role years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. Paul Heyman is not going to be around forever. Triple H is not going to be around forever. What happens when they leave? Or what happens? Triple H almost died last year. God forbid, what if something happens? You got to get some newer, younger blood in there too. So that's something else that they should be doing as well, is really training and preparing some of these other writers to maybe step in and become the head writer one day. And, you know, I'm sure they must have some creative minds who work for that company who could really assist in that way. So I think training and preparing someone for the future is something that they should also consider. And also consider how the writing team must feel. How do you think they feel whenever they would write a television show and then watch it be blown up and rewritten by the Irish madmen a few hours before the show went live on TV? This was a constant issue. They would spend their entire weekend putting the show together. They'd have a script. Vince McMahon doesn't like something about it. He blows the whole thing up. He goes in a room by himself and he rewrites the entire thing 2 hours before they go on the air. No more. The days of reading these reports about Vince McMahon ripping up the Raw script, hopefully now, are over. And if you're a writer for this company, you have to be fucking ecstatic. They're not just throwing a party at the PC down in Orlando. They're throwing a fucking party in the writer's room right now. If these stories are to be believed, how could they not? Or they would write things they thought that Vince McMahon liked, even if they knew it was shit. How many good ideas never even make it on TV? Maybe now they feel like, okay, we can actually express ourselves a little bit more. We can pitch certain ideas that before we never would have pitched because we knew the old man didn't like it. So again, these changes are potentially far-reaching. When people say, well, what's really going to change? You gotta really break it down to think about how this affects all of these different audiences, the NXT call-ups, the writers. Like, there's so many different groups that are going to be affected by Vince being gone and Triple H being in power. That's what makes it exciting. To think about how things might improve in that way. But there are also, you know, potential negatives. It's not just, oh, everything is great now, right? Everything's going to be perfect. WWE is going to go into another boom period. Like, no, nobody is saying that. There are potential negatives here. You know, the competition I mentioned between NXT and AEW. The fans chose AEW over NXT. Triple H lost that war. He lost that battle. He lost that skirmish. Whatever word you want to use. Some people don't even consider it a war. Whatever fucking word you want to use, right? He was embarrassed by this startup company that didn't even exist before. He had spent years building up the black and gold, right? We are NXT. And they lost in the head-to-head with AEW. The audience chose Tony Khan's product over his. And I think part of the problem with NXT was the show really started to fall off when they went to 2 hours. They expanded the show to 2 hours. And they put the show on USA Network, and now you have all the commercial breaks, and the show is formatted differently, and they made it look more like the main roster. And that's not what people liked about NXT. It was different enough that it didn't look like Raw, and it didn't feel like SmackDown. And when it went to USA, all of that changed. And the show at that point just really wasn't the same anymore. Well, now Triple H is going to have 3 hours of television every Monday night to put together, in addition to 2 hours on Friday nights, right? And we still don't know what influence he might have over NXT. So you might even want to throw the Tuesday night show in there. But he's going to have a lot more television now that he's going to be responsible for. I think things are going to improve, but how much? You know, there's no guarantee he's going to be able to book things the way that he did on the main roster. You know, maybe he's been brainwashed into thinking that the Vince McMahon way is the way to go. I doubt that, but again, it's possible. It's possible that we may not see a lot of those changes that some of us are hoping for. And then also, the elephant in the room, his health issues cannot be ignored. This is a man who came very close to death. This is a man who has a lot of new hardware sitting in his chest that he did not have a year ago. He's already been named the head of talent relations. He's assisting with these next-in-line programs. They're trying to recruit athletes from other sports, right? So he's doing all of this stuff. And now you dump this in his lap. The biggest possible position that you could give to him, he now has. In addition to everything else, what impact is that going to have potentially on his health? Can he handle all of this? Is this actually a negative thing for him? So that has to be considered as well. I mean, think about it. That would be a lot for a totally healthy person to do, let alone somebody who went through all the shit that he went through. I also don't think it's very smart, frankly, to have the same person running creative also running talent relations. That would seem to me like it would be a very awkward thing, I think, for the talent, because the person now who is going to be running and handling your career and the storylines and your character and how much television time you get and how you're portrayed and booked on television is now the same person that you would report to for all of these other kind of behind the scenes talent issues. I think it just makes things potentially awkward. And when Bruce Pritchard was named as the interim head of talent relations a few weeks ago, there were reports that came out that there were a lot of talent who, maybe they're not big Bruce Pritchard fans, but their concern more was, wait a minute, this guy now is not just running the creative end of things, but now he's also responsible for talent relations. And especially if you're somebody who maybe didn't like Bruce Pritchard, that's doubly bad news for you. I saw somebody make the comparison on social media earlier. It's like your boss also being the head of human resources. So when you look at it like that, you can see where it's kind of a conflict. So I don't know if Triple H is going to remain in talent relations long term, or if that's just a temporary thing and ultimately they'll find somebody else to do the job. But I think at some point they're going to have to, because I don't think that that makes a whole lot of sense for him to stay in that role. But as far as how this affects the business as a whole, you know, Triple H as the head of creative, to me, it's like rolling out the welcome mat. And in some cases, rolling out the welcome back mat to people who are working for other promotions, including people who are currently working for AEW. Because you have to think that there are at least some people who are now working for Tony Khan who maybe did not leave WWE on the best of terms, or had some kind of a blow up with Vince McMahon, or were not happy with their creative, or just felt like they would never get a fair shake. Felt like they would never get a real serious push. And now all of a sudden Vince McMahon is gone. Some of them probably also really like Triple H because maybe they worked with him in NXT. Plenty of former NXT talents are now working for Tony Khan. I'm sure they're looking at this and going, hey, you know, Hunter now, he's the guy with the golden key. When those contracts come due, Tony Khan might have some real bidding wars on his hands if he wants to hold on to some of these people. Because I can guarantee you at least some of them are going to be very tempted to want to go back to WWE knowing that Triple H is going to be their boss. If Vince was there, they would be maybe a little, you know, less likely, but now that Triple H is in charge, everything is up in the air. And it was only going to be a matter of time before more people went over. Cody is not going to be the last. Who's going to be next? Nobody knows who's going to be next. But I guarantee you it'll be somebody fairly soon. And this is only going to make it harder, I think, for Tony Khan to hold on to talent. So, you know, Tony Khan, I thought that the tweet that he put out the other day when Vince McMahon, you know, stepped down, it didn't bother me. I thought it was, you know, it kind of got a laugh out of me. But he can't be so cavalier about this, because I actually think this is going to end up being something that is more of a negative than a positive as far as AEW is concerned. Before it was like, you know, bring me your huddled masses. Well, we'll take you in over here. You know, we got a home for you over here. Well, now people may want to go back in the other direction. So that's something to keep in mind as well. And actually, one of the names I thought of, and I'm not saying that he's going to go, I'm thinking of him. It made me think of Darby Allin, because Darby Allin has been adamant, I'll never work for WWE. And, you know, I think he had a tryout once and I don't think it went well, but he made the comment when he first signed with AEW, he made a comment to the effect of, I don't want to end up as just another 205 live guy. And that's what I'm going to be if I go to WWE. Well, yeah, under Vince McMahon, probably, yes, that's what he would have ended up as. Under Triple H, maybe not. Does that make somebody like a Darby Allin down the road more open to going to WWE? Right? That'd be big. I mean, he's an AEW original. So that's just something to keep in mind. So that's the Triple H stuff. We're going to have more information on this coming out throughout the week, so I'm sure I'll have a lot more to say about this on episode 767 this Sunday. But that was not the only big news that broke today. And by the way, if you are joining live here tonight, it is It is a little unusual here to be live on a Monday night, but I could not let this go by without being here with you. And obviously, we have a lot to get into here. So we're going to talk about Raw from Madison Square Garden. I have not mentioned it yet, but I'll mention it now. Hit that like button. I want to make sure we get as many likes on this video as we possibly can. Get those super chats on in too, because I know you got questions. I know you got comments. So I'm going to read them all. If you send them in, I will read them. And you'll see them popping up on your screen. So if you want to drop a super chat, you may do so. But we got to talk about Vince McMahon, because now that he has ceded the throne to Triple H, that does not mean that Vince McMahon's problems just go away magically. In fact, it looks like his problems are about to get a whole lot worse. Now we know the real reason why Vince McMahon all of a sudden retired on Friday. Why Vince McMahon went on Twitter and said, at 77, time to retire. Out of nowhere, time to retire. He did not retire. I think we all knew that he did not voluntarily retire. He didn't retire. He resigned. Two different things. Now we know that Vince McMahon resigned his position, and this is why. This is from the Wall Street Journal. And this is not the next big bomb people were expecting from the Journal. Supposedly, that could still be coming. But the Wall Street Journal had a story earlier this evening. The headline, U.S. investigations hastened McMahon retirement from WWE, says sources. New federal investigations into the deepening hush money scandal involving World Wrestling Entertainment hastened the retirement of its chief executive, Vince McMahon. This is according to people familiar with the matter. The Securities and Exchange Commission and federal prosecutors, that's a scary word to hear, have launched inquiries into payments made by Mr. McMahon to settle allegations of sexual misconduct. The media company said Monday that it has received regulatory, investigative, and enforcement inquiries, subpoenas, or demands in connection with the millions of dollars in hush money packs. WWE disclosed the inquiries in a securities filing, which also said that an ongoing internal investigation had uncovered agreements by Mr. McMahon to make payments totaling $14.6 million. So I want to pause there for a second, because we knew of $12 million in hush money payments to four different women. Now, we don't know for sure that this $14.6 million is in reference to the hush money payments. Let's assume that it is. So the number has gone up. Where this other $2.5 million came from is going to be very interesting to find out. So the number went from $12 million. Now it's up to $14.6 million. We don't know exactly why it's up to $14.6 million. From 2006 to 2022, WWE said that Mr. McMahon has or will pay all of the expenses personally. The payments, first revealed by the Wall Street Journal, should have been recorded in the company's financial statements. The company, and this is from WWE. This is what WWE put in its filing. These should have been recorded in the company's financial statements, and they were not. The company said that it expects to revise previous financial statements going back to 2019 to reflect the payments. WWE also said that an internal board investigation expects to conclude that its internal control over financial reporting was not effective as a result of one or more material weaknesses. The inquiries from regulators and law enforcement show how the scandal over McMahon's personal conduct could put the company's business interests at risk. So all the people who were asking me, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about what Vince did? Why should he have to resign or quit or be forced out? It's not that big of a deal. Now you're starting to see. The onion is starting to peel a little bit more. And you're starting to see exactly what I was saying as far as why they had to get him the fuck out of there. Or he had to do the right thing for the sake of his company and step aside, which is what I thought he ended up doing. Of course, now we realize the real reason why he decided to go away, because he knew this was coming. But now you see why. Forget him for a second. The longer he stayed with this company and the longer he stayed on in the role that he was in, he was toxic. He was toxic for his company. And at some point, maybe right now, Fox and NBC, they're comfortable with this. But at some point, as this thing deepens and gets worse, maybe they're not. Maybe Mattel or some of these other companies and network partners, they get a little skittish and they don't want to have anything to do with this company now. They want to take a step back and say, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be doing business with these people. If they can't get their own house in order, we don't want this to blow back on us. You know what? It's a bad look for us. Maybe we're going to step aside. Or at the end of our deal, maybe we'll part ways. When it starts to potentially impact your business, that is never a good thing. One of the reasons why he had to go. He had to go anyway, for a lot of other reasons. But this is a very serious reason why he had to go. It says WWE is the biggest pro wrestling brand in the world and has lucrative licensing deals with entertainment giants like Fox and NBC. The company is also seeking new business internationally and in the U.S. And it mentioned here that a deal with Hulu, which streams Monday Night Raw, is set to expire later this year. Walt Disney Company has a majority stake in the streaming platform. I feel like Walt Disney has a streaming... Walt Disney Company has a stake in pretty much every fucking thing. For all you know, Walt Disney could have a stake in this podcast. Well, if I did, though, you'd have the mouse. There'd be a mouse in the corner of the screen. So that's how you know they don't. But it's very interesting about that number being 14.6 million now instead of the 12 million. But if we assume that this is in regards to the hush money, if the company is citing in these documents that the NDA-related payoffs, and again, it's not being confirmed as far as what this money is exactly, but we're not stupid, right? We can tell what this money is in regards to. If the money in question was supposed to be recorded as a company expense, it could be that they think that Vince McMahon was using company funds, which would eliminate that whole argument that, oh, he used his own money. Maybe he didn't. I mean, it's unfathomable to me that he would do something so stupid or that his lawyer would stop him from doing that. But it sounds like that potentially is what happened here. And if that's the case, that opens him and possibly the company up to potential litigation. So this has now gone from a situation where Vince did something naughty and it makes him look bad and it potentially makes the company look bad and he really should go. All of a sudden now, this takes it to a whole other level. Before, I would tell people, we're not talking about Vince McMahon going to jail. This is not a criminal issue. I may have spoken too soon. This may well be a criminal issue. The government is now looking into Vince McMahon. He is now being investigated by the SEC. He is being investigated by law enforcement agencies. They're looking into this now. This has now gone to like DEFCON 5 for Vince McMahon. And wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something after all these years? This weekend was 28 years since he got acquitted in court on federal charges of conspiring to distribute steroids. He was acquitted of those charges. People say, oh, he was found innocent. They really need to look up the circumstances. The government's case was very weak. Not because Vince McMahon was innocent either on some of the stuff that he was accused of. But he was acquitted of the charges that they brought against him. And we've heard him, you know, thump his chest and talk about this, and he kind of poked the bear. And for years, talk about how, you know, the federal government came after me, and I beat the government, and they were inept, and they were stupid, and they were this and that. You know, sometimes you talk a big talk, and it comes back to bite you on the ass. And that looks to be what's happening right now. Wouldn't it be something, after all these years, you come full circle, if Vince McMahon is taken down by the federal government? Now we know that it's a possibility. And if it happens, he's got nobody to blame but himself. Raw was live tonight from Madison Square Garden. They had a healthy crowd, too. It was a sellout crowd tonight from MSG. I know a couple of people who were at the show who said the building was packed, the building was loud, even though it didn't really come across that way for the entire show. They were very hot at the beginning of the show tonight, but then, you know, three hours of this crap tends to take a lot out of you. We got a cold open to the show tonight with Logan Paul and The Miz. They were rolling around the ring. No music, No opening video, just right to the ring, and they're brawling and going at it. Officials run down to pull them apart. Now, had they left well enough alone, and that was the only segment on the show with Miz and Logan Paul, that would have been fine. I would have been like, okay, that's not a bad segment to have as your final go-home segment before their match at SummerSlam. Unfortunately, they brought them back again later in the show, and it ended up being the worst fucking thing on the entire show. So whatever good they did here in this opening, they completely negated it by what they did later in the show. So then we had the arrival of the Bloodline, and I thought to myself, look who showed up to work. Look who showed up on Monday Night Raw. You could count on one hand and probably have four fingers left. How many times Roman Reigns has showed his face on Monday Night Raw since winning the championship, the WWE Championship, and unifying the titles of WrestleMania? I believe he was on the Raw after WrestleMania, which was actually the last time I went live after Raw. And I don't believe he has made a single appearance since on the show. I could be wrong. Maybe he made one. But I'm almost positive he has not been on this show or in a match on this show since the night after WrestleMania, which was back in April. Okay, it's almost August now. So Roman Reigns showed up to work. He was with his cousins, the Usos. He was with Paul Heyman. He got in the ring. And he told New York City to acknowledge him. And he handed the mic to Paul Heyman, and Heyman, it started cutting out on Heyman. Actually, it started cutting out on Roman. When he handed the mic to Heyman, he started doing his promo, and the mic was cutting in and out. So they handed him a new microphone, and he said the sound guy must be from New Jersey. And he wanted the sound guy's name and said that he would be the next one out the door. Heyman said Sunday would mark 700 days of Roman Reigns as the champion, but he knew that Brock Lesnar wanted to end Roman's party. And Heyman noted that Brock Lesnar ended Randy Couture when he was on top in the UFC. Brock ended The Undertaker's WrestleMania streak. Took John Cena to Suplex City at SummerSlam when he was at his peak. He mentioned famous rivalries like the Red Sox and the Yankees, Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, Stone Cold and The Rock, Vince McMahon and the fans, Vince McMahon and the federal government. We can go on. So he mentioned all these rivalries. He said we would no longer be thinking about Brock Lesnar alongside Roman's name anymore after Saturday. It was time for Brock to go back to Saskatchewan to slaughter hogs. And in their final match, they really, even the announcers, they drove home the point on this show. This is going to be the last ever match, the final time ever that Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar would step into the ring together. And I believe that about as much as I believe that Ric Flair is going to wrestle his final match this Sunday. The only thing is that we don't know what Brock Lesnar's contractual status is going to be beyond SummerSlam. Because I doubt that Brock is winning any championships on Saturday. And we know the stories about Brock leaving the building on Friday and being very unhappy about Vince retiring and going away. But if Brock is upset about that, if Brock wants to only work with Vince because Vince is the guy he always dealt with and maybe he doesn't want to deal with Triple H or anybody else, I don't know if he's got more time left on his contract. My understanding was that he was good through SummerSlam. So this could very well be it for Brock Lesnar. If this is the last match on his deal, or if he doesn't want to be there anymore, he'll do the main event. He's been advertised for the main event. And that could be it. So if Brock were to leave, then I suppose, yes, this could very well be the last time we see Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns. That would be the only way I would accept that possibility and believe that this could be the last time they're going to wrestle. If Brock sticks around, I don't believe that for a second. But that's how they're promoting this main event on Saturday. Austin Theory interrupted. Again, he repeated his plans for SummerSlam, cashing in his money in the bank. Roman told him to step into the ring and acknowledge his tribal chief. He told Theory that he had no idea what to do with the briefcase, so he offered the kids some advice. And Roman told him to analyze the situation. Look around you and analyze the situation. He said, your daddy's not here anymore. And I just thought to myself, I said, man, I said, the body is still warm. The man is not even cold yet. And they're already taking their jabs. I thought that was fucking great. So that earned Theory a daddy's gone chant from the crowd, and then an even louder chant of, who's your daddy? And Roman said that if he keeps messing up, he's going to be his daddy. Roman said that he runs the garden now, and he went to go leave. And Jey Uso, as Jey Uso was also leaving, the cousins were about to leave the ring with Roman. Jey Uso flicked Theory's neck, and Theory ends up smashing him from behind with the Money in the Bank briefcase. So now the Usos are going to go after Theory, and Roman holds him back, because the Usos are hot, and Roman's holding him back. And Theory is standing there, he's standing his ground, and he's telling them he doesn't need it. I don't need this. I don't need the briefcase. You want to go? Let's go. Let's throw down now. So cooler heads prevailed, and the Bloodline left, and that was the end of the segment. I actually liked the segment a lot. I liked the segment. Opening cold with a pull apart was a different way to open the show. And if you'll notice, at the end of this, we got a glimpse of, you know, kind of babyface, badass Austin Theory. I don't know if that was something that was a little bit of a test, or if that's something that could maybe be a sign of what's to come. But it was noticeable that he was willing to stand his ground, put the briefcase down and stand his ground and take on the Bloodline all by himself. You know, usually he's the chicken shit, smarmy heel. But in that moment, he showed what a future babyface Austin Theory might look like. And it's inevitable because he's the chosen one. Even though Vince is not there anymore, you know, Vince is gone now. And I know people wonder, oh, what's going to happen to Theory, right? He's Vince's handpicked guy. He's getting the big push. He's going to be just fine because he's got people in that company who are big fans of his beyond Vince McMahon. Triple H is probably a fan of him. I'm trying to think if it might have been Triple H who signed him, in fact. So I'm sure Triple H is a fan of his too. So just because Vince is gone does not mean that the Theory push is going to come to an end. I think they're very high on him, which was very obvious here because the entire first hour, the first 50 minutes of the show, was basically the Austin Theory show. Because he wasn't just in the opening segment. It went beyond that. He was in like three or four segments throughout the entire first hour of this show. When we came back, Theory was still in the ring. And actually, he got the full introduction by Mike Rome. And he's standing in the ring, and he's got his Money in the Bank briefcase. And before he could even get a word out, we had the arrival of Drew McIntyre. So I see that Triple H is taking this brand split about as seriously as his father-in-law did. SmackDown's own Drew McIntyre makes his way down to the ring for a match. They ring the bell, and all of a sudden it's Drew McIntyre against Austin Theory. All right. So McIntyre dominated him to start. Theory got some offense coming out of the break. Put Theory down with a spine buster. McIntyre went to the corner to set up for the Claymore kick when Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch. Butch is one of those great examples, I think, of what Triple H can do very soon, as far as we talk about overhauling things and making certain changes. One of the changes to be made is to stop this Butch crap. So Sheamus and Butch and Holland, they run out to attack McIntyre for the DQ about 10 minutes in. Sheamus jabbed a shillelagh in McIntyre's eye. Bobby Lashley ran out to make the save. So the first finish of the Paul Levesque era is a disqualification, which then led to the predictable tag team match coming out of the commercial break. It was Lashley and McIntyre taking on Theory and Sheamus. The match started during the break, so we were already in progress when we came back. Sheamus was amused by McIntyre chopping Theory, but he used a distraction to knock down McIntyre and take control. Lashley gave Sheamus a delayed vertical suplex and gave Theory a flatliner. Lashley went to go spear Theory through the barricade at ringside, but Sheamus, this is actually a great spot. Sheamus came from out of nowhere. He had this like running, leaping knee strike. Looked great, sounded great. The reaction from the announcers was on point. So that looked devastating. Butch and Holland, they tried to attack McIntyre. McIntyre, though, caught Butch and gave him an overhead belly-to-belly suplex onto Ridge Holland. And the referee ejected Holland and Butch. We went to another commercial break. Lashley gave Theory a chokeslam. Sheamus, though, broke up the pin with a knee strike off the top. McIntyre wiped out Sheamus. Sheamus, though, poked him in the eye and gave him white noise on the floor. In the ring, Theory was setting up for his finish. And you could see there was a commotion in the crowd. And I thought maybe there was a fight where somebody was being ejected from the crowd. It ended up being Dolph Ziggler. I would have rather there be a fight in the crowd. But it was Dolph Ziggler standing at ringside right in front of the announcers. He had his cell phone in his hand. And, you know, he's just standing there trying to get Theory's attention. And Theory is distracted. That allowed Lashley to apply the Hurt Lock. Quick submission. Theory did not waste any time tapping out because he's got a title match on Saturday, right? Why get hurt and do damage now? So he immediately tapped out. And the Usos came out as Theory was leaving. They super kicked him on the stage area. Roman Reigns walked back out with Paul Heyman, took the Money in the Bank briefcase, and placed it on top of Theory's chest. And Roman very sarcastically reminded him, don't forget to bring it with you on Saturday. So the entire first hour of the show was basically built around Austin Theory, and he continues to lose. Austin Theory is now 0-6 since winning Money in the Bank, which was the beginning of this month. So in the month of July, Austin Theory is 0-6. And that's their MO when it comes to the briefcase. A lot of the Money in the Bank winners, not all of them, but a good chunk of them, end up going on these losing streaks. They end up being beaten like a drum over and over and over again because the idea is, well, they've got the briefcase, so it doesn't matter. We could beat them. Especially if they're going to cash in and win the championship. They'll win the championship and all this will be forgotten. Well, maybe, but you also look at it the other way and say that you have somebody who is a fucking loser who can't win a match to save their life, and then you put your world heavyweight title on them. Congratulations. Now you have a loser as your world champion. That's the way I look at it. But they've done this shit for years. So they keep beating him and beating him and beating him. So what they did is show you that Theory can go. I think that was the whole point of this. They wanted you to see that, you know, because Theory was out there, he was working, and again, he was all over the place in that first hour, and he can work. Theory can go. It's not just, oh, he looks a certain way, or he can talk, or whatever. Like, he can work. Anybody who saw him on the indies knows he can work. So this was, I think, a demonstration of what he can do in the ring, because he got a lot of ring time here in this first hour. So we had a Rey Mysterio video package, because tonight was the big celebration, Rey Mysterio celebrating his 20th anniversary in WWE. So we got a video package set to Metallica's Wherever I May Roam. Boy, they love their Metallica music. What's that, Buckers? Just subscribed? What's going on, brother? Thank you for the sub. If you are new here and you are not subbed to the channel, please do so. Because we've had a lot, no shortage of breaking news over these past few months. And there's obviously more to come. So you'll definitely want to subscribe and make sure that notification bell is on. But they had the video package. We had comments spliced in from Kurt Angle, JBL, Batista, Randy Orton, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens. There was a clip of Ray early on. It might have actually been the very first night he debuted on SmackDown, I think. I know he had the match with Chavo, so I don't remember if it was the end of that first SmackDown that he was on, when he did that big dive off the cage onto the, I think it would have been the Un-Americans. So they showed that, and they had footage of him winning the Royal Rumble, winning the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. They showed him and Dominic winning the tag team titles last year. So we cut to the back, an SUV pulls up to Madison Square Garden, and out comes Ray, Aaliyah, Dominic, and Angie. Angie, of course, is Ray's wife. Kevin Patrick was in the back. He interviewed Dolph Ziggler, who said that he thinks Theory needed to be taught a lesson. He said he's seen 1,000 people like him come and go over there, because Dolph Ziggler's been in this company for about 70,000 years. So yes, he has seen many people come and go. AJ Styles showed up. He started to say something when he was shooshed by Chad Gable, who had Otis with him. And Gable challenged Ziggler and Styles to a tag team match, and of course they accepted, so that match came later in the show. So now it was time for the big celebration. This was one of the big things that was promoted on the show tonight, the 20th anniversary celebration of one Rey Mysterio. And Rey and Dominic came out to the ring alone. They left the family in the back. So Angie and Aaliyah, they were shown on camera, on screen, in a dressing room. They had the big flat panel screen on the wall. There were family members, or maybe they were just random people, I don't know. But they had family members in the room with them that were never identified, and they're cheering, right? They're like really hamming it up. They're like, yeah, Rey, yeah, yeah, yeah. And all I thought as I look at this, they have all these family members, and I'm just thinking, angle alert. Angle alert. Something's going to happen here. So Rey said that he wrestled his first match in Tijuana when he was just 14 years old, which is true. It was in 1989. Think about that. I first started, my earliest wrestling memories go back to 1986, 1987, probably 87. And Rey Mysterio wrestled his first match 2 years after I started watching wrestling. When Rey Mysterio wrestled his first match, the mega powers were exploding. When Rey Mysterio debuted, Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat had their classic trilogy of matches. He's 14 years old, and he didn't get paid in money or pesos or whatever it would have been. He got paid in the form of a sandwich and a Coca-Cola. That's how he got paid for his match. It was in the parking lot outside of a church. So anyway, he didn't mention any of that, but I'm giving you some background on the debut of Rey Mysterio. See, Rey should hire me. I'll write his autobiography. So Rey said that he wanted to thank some people. He mentioned Dean Malenko. He mentioned K-Dog, which was Conan, Batista, Kurt Angle, Edge, Eddie Guerrero. Obviously got the biggest pop out of everybody. In fact, I think Rey was wearing an Eddie shirt, I believe. He thanked his wife and daughter, who were shown watching backstage. He told Dominic that he is very proud of him. He's proud of the man that he has become. And one day when he's no longer here, he's going to carry on the Mysterio legacy. He talked briefly in Spanish. Finn Balor was shown applauding as he was coming through the crowd on one side, and then on the opposite side of the arena, Damian Priest slowly making his way out. They had already announced the tag team match, so we knew that was coming up next. That led to Rey and Dominic against Balor and Priest after a break. They joined the match in progress. Balor hit Rey with a coup de grace and had him pinned, but Dominic broke it up at the last moment. So Priest grabbed a chair from ringside, and he passed the chair to Balor, and Priest distracted the referee. Balor passed the chair to Rey, so he was going to try to do the Eddie Guerrero spot and do it to Rey, because Rey's done it to other people before, so he was going to give Rey a taste of his own medicine here. The problem is, when he made the noise and Balor dropped, the referee was still distracted. I think Dominic was distracting the female referee. Trying to remember what her name is. I know Jessica Carr. I don't remember her name. I think she's still relatively new to the main roster, but I know she was working in NXT for a while. I think it's Leon Ruff, his wife. So anyway, she was being distracted. So the spot didn't work. It backfired on Balor, because what ended up happening is Rey hit Balor with the chair, tossed it to Balor, and then the referee, of course, turned around. And so now Balor is pleading with this woman not to disqualify him, and Rey ended up hitting Hurricane Ranas on Balor, Hurricane Ranas to him and Damian Priest. And then he and Dominic hit a stereo 619 combo. Rey went up top, hit the frog splash on Finn Balor for the win. The most shocking part about this entire thing, in all honesty, is the fact that they actually allowed Rey Mysterio to go out there. He made a very nice speech and thanked everybody. He wasn't interrupted. Priest and Balor came out at the very end of it, but he wasn't interrupted. He wasn't insulted. He wasn't attacked. Then they have this match, and they win. He just pinned Balor in the middle of the ring, 1-2-3, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, Judgment Day has become Jabroni Day. But good for Rey. You know, it was actually a very classy little, you know, celebration for him. And he won the match for his team. And in the back, Ray's family was shown celebrating. Ray and Dominic enter to celebrate along with them. This is where, again, my spidey senses started tingling. Remember when I said angle alert? It was just a matter of, would they actually have Dominic turn against his father? See, I'm glad they didn't do that, because I think it just would have been stupid. And I don't know why anybody would want to even join the Judgment Day at this point. I'd rather join some kind of choir and go from house to house singing songs than join the Judgment Day. Or what was that group many years ago that I talked about and I mocked on the podcast? I got into a little war with the TNA Soldiers? Is that what it was? God, going back so many years now, I don't even remember. I'd rather join the TNA Soldiers. I'll become a TNA Soldier. With that guy, the general guy. Remember the general guy? He looked like he was living in the fucking, in a fucking bunker somewhere whenever he would put out a video. I'd rather join them than join the Judgment Day. I have no idea why Dominic would want to join the Judgment Day. So there was a little, I think this was, you know, unintentional. I don't know why they would have wanted to show this. A little bit of a Botchamania moment here. Because as Ray and Dominic are entering the dressing room and everyone's cheering, right, all the family members and everything, if you look really closely in the background in the hallway, you can see Damian Priest. You can see Damian Priest, and he's just kind of hanging around. So, oops. So Ray took a shot of tequila. Ray stealing a page out of my playbook whenever I am forced to sit here and watch Monday Night Raw for 3 hours straight every week. Usually I have about 3 shots of tequila, so he had 1 shot of tequila, and his daughter had a gift for him, and he opened, now I'm expecting like a snake to pop out or something, right? There's Jake, right? What's going to pop out of this box here? So he opens the box, and inside is his old Halloween Havoc gear, the purple Halloween Havoc gear that he wore for his classic match with Eddie Guerrero at Halloween Havoc in 1997. And Ray was very surprised to see it. He said he's been looking all over for it. How did you find it? I've been searching high and low for it. Rhea Ripley showed up. This was Rhea Ripley's return. She has been off television for almost a month. She had the concussion. She had some issues with her mouth when she kneed herself right in the face. So it was good to see her back. And I was worried here. I thought, okay, they're going to rip up the Halloween Havoc gear. I was like, I hope that they just made new gear to look like the Halloween Havoc gear if they're going to fucking destroy it. But the gear was never touched. Aaliyah got up in Rhea's face and told her to back off, and Rhea just kind of laughed and pie-faced her. And it was an ambush. Of course, as you would imagine, there was going to be some kind of an angle here. So it was an ambush. By the Judgment Day, they dragged Rey down the hallway after they jumped him and Dominic. They were dragging... This is actually the funniest moment of the segment. So Balor is dragging Ray across the floor. And Balor yells, "It's not your anniversary, it's my birthday." And in fact, it is Finn Balor's birthday today. Finn Balor is 41 years old. So everybody in the chat with the birthday emojis can wish a very happy birthday to Finn Balor. Priest then powerbombed Ray through a table. So you knew they were going to be attacked, right? The moment they showed the family members, you knew that they were either the Judgment Day was going to show up and beat up some of the random cousins, or they were going to go back there to celebrate with their family and get jumped. You knew it was going to be one or the other. But I thought they were going to destroy Rey's Halloween Havoc gear. I actually just unlocked that gear in 2K22 because Rey Mysterio is the showcase mode for 2K22. And I just recently completed that mission, or whatever you want to call it, and unlocked the Halloween Havoc gear from 97, which is probably still the best gear that Ray's ever worn in one of the best matches that he's ever been in. Bianca Belair came to the ring for a promo ahead of her Raw Women's Championship match at SummerSlam this Saturday with Becky Lynch, who walked out and interrupted her before she could even get a word out. Bianca didn't get to say a word before Becky came in. And Belair cut her off and launched into her whole spiel about how she's the best. Not the best. That's not a fucking word. She's the strongest. She's the fastest. She's the smartest. She's the tallest. She's the, I don't know. All the words that she usually throws out there. She's the she's the bestest. And she was going on and on and on to the point where it was actually getting fucking annoying. And so when Becky finally tried to talk and Bianca just kept steamrolling her and talking with her catchphrase, Becky just cheap shotted her and popped her in the mouth. And I said, good, she deserved it. She's getting on my fucking nerves. So Becky popped her in the face and knocked her down. Belair fought back, though, and got her up for the KOD. Lynch held onto the ropes and ended up yanking Bianca by her braid. And they both went out over the top rope to the floor. They brawled all over ringside. They fought over the announce table. Adam Pearce ran out. Shane Helms ran out. A bunch of referees came out to try to break them up. And that was the entire segment. So what I said at the beginning of the Raw review, if they would have left the Logan Paul and Miz thing as is, if it was just this giant pull-apart brawl, if they would have brawled into the crowd, let the camera follow them through the crowd and they brawl up to the concessions, have fun with it. Just make it one big thing. They go to the popcorn machine, right? And Logan Paul's throwing fucking popcorn at Miz. And, you know, Miz takes a stick of cotton candy and sticks it up his ass or whatever, you know, have him brawl all over the place. If they would have just left that alone, that would have been a great way to hype up, you know, this rivalry going into SummerSlam. And then they had to just come back and ruin it later on. With Becky and Bianca, they just did this one segment and that was it. This was the last we saw of them. Sarah Schreiber was at the gorilla position with Alexa Bliss before her match with Doudrop. And she was interviewing Alexa and Bliss said that she couldn't blame Doudrop for asking for this match again, but what she didn't understand was her relationship with Nikki A.S.H. She didn't understand about their partnership. She didn't understand why they were friends, how it benefited either one of them. She said, unlike her and Lily, where I guess that's a beneficial relationship, she said that Lily was independent and made her own money. She was even number one on WWE Shop, which is the only reason why we keep seeing this fucking doll on television, because they keep selling dolls. It's smart. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's not. They're selling those things like crazy. So number one on WWE Shop is Lily the doll. Bliss got serious then and said the winner of Belair against Lynch at SummerSlam should watch their back, whoever the champion is coming out of that match, because she intends to take back her place at the top of the women's division. Alexa Bliss, and I don't know if our old pal Bliss fan is in the chat, but Alexa Bliss has a lot of stands out there, a lot of fans, who have not been very happy about how WWE has used her. I mean, there have been rumors and reports for months going back to Elimination Chamber that Alexa herself is not very happy with the way that she has been used and her creative in the company. Now that Vince McMahon is gone and Triple H is in, Alexa Bliss is a Triple H girl. So, again, she's probably very happy right about now. But she really hasn't been used in any kind of meaningful way since she came back. Something is off. Something is off about Bliss. She doesn't feel the same as she did before she went away. So something is definitely off. And I'll tell you one thing that doesn't help. Her theme music. I don't know what the reasoning was behind changing her theme. Her theme sucks. So it's just one of those things where everything about her seemingly changed except the doll. The doll is still there. But something is off and different about her since she came back. And her music sucks. So that doesn't help the situation. In the back, Adam Pearce and some trainers were tending to Rey Mysterio, who was holding his arm. And Priest and Balor showed up again. They were stopped by Dominic. Rhea Ripley showed up, and Rhea Ripley kicked his ass. Rhea Ripley kicked Ray right in his injured arm and said, happy 20th, and she laughed, and she left. So Rhea Ripley is the only one with any real balls in that entire faction. See, I don't think Damian Priest is the leader. I don't think Finn Balor is the leader. Rhea Ripley is the leader. That's why Judgment Day fell off a cliff, because not only did they get rid of Edge, but they lost Rhea because she got hurt. Rhea Ripley very likely would be the Raw Women's Champion now, or winning the Raw Women's Championship at SummerSlam this Saturday, because that was going to be the match at Money in the Bank originally. So they lost their true leader. Now they have their leader back. It's good to see Rhea Ripley back on TV. So we had the match here. It's Alexa Bliss against Doudrop. Nikki Ash grabbed the Lily doll. Doudrop used the distraction to catch Bliss with a jumping body splash, which is the same move that she used to beat her last week for the 24/7 title. But Bliss kicked out this time. Bliss ended up winning the match with a DDT. And the crowd did not give a shit about this match. Up to this point, the crowd was mostly animated. Again, they weren't as loud as they were in hour one. But this is where the crowd just died. They didn't give a shit about any of this. And I don't know, again, why they felt the need to run this back again. I don't know what they're doing with Nikki Ash and Doudrop. Not that I care. I mean, who could possibly care? But they started a storyline many, many weeks ago where it looked like Doudrop was trying to tell her, look, enough with this superhero crap. You got to get yourself serious here. And it was almost like the beginning maybe of her dropping the gimmick. And then the story got dropped. There's been no promos from them. There's been no story advancement, nothing. It just got dropped. So I have no idea what's going on here. Will things be different under Triple H? I don't know. It depends on how he feels about Nikki Ash and Doudrop. The Nikki Ash thing is death, right? It's just done. She'd be much better off just going back to being crazy old Nikki Cross. Doudrop has talent, but again, that fucking name, my God, it's like Madcap. That's another thing Triple H needs to work on, by the way. Like, they have their policy about not using people's real names. I actually don't see that changing. But some of these names, they've got to change these names. And one other thing, I'll throw this out there. Somebody mentioned it to me on Twitter, actually. I wanted to mention this. If Triple H really wants to win some goodwill with the fans, you know what I would say? You ask me, what's the first thing that Triple H should do? It actually has nothing to do with creative. The first thing that Triple H should do, he wants to win over the hearts and minds of the fans, right? Especially the hardcore fans. He should get that Vladimir documentary released that they're holding hostage. It's bad enough they never released the Lex Luger Icons episode. I was actually looking forward to that last year. It was supposed to come out, I think, July 4th last year. And they advertised it. It was scheduled. And then they pulled it. And they never said why. But they had this great documentary that the people who saw it raved about it and said, oh, it's such a great piece of business on Vladimir the superfan. Vladimir may have been at Madison Square Garden tonight. I didn't see him, but maybe he was there. And they put together this documentary and then nothing. Radio silence. It was supposed to come out last year, never came out. And they won't say why. So they're holding it hostage. Triple H, get the Vladimir documentary released. Triple H and Stephanie actually presented Vladimir with an award once. There's a picture online. Type it in. I don't remember. It's some kind of plaque or something. They had some kind of like super fan award and they presented it to him. Triple H needs to make sure that thing sees the light of day. That's what he needs to do. So now we have the worst segment on the entire show. We had Impulsive TV. That's what he was going to see. It's not Impulsive. It's Impulsive TV with Logan Paul. This was Logan Paul's attempt to do Miz TV better than The Miz does. He failed. As if I'm some kind of big fan of Miz TV to begin with. So what we ended up with here was the worst segment of the entire night. The only redeeming thing about any of this was seeing Maryse out there dressed in hot pink. Anytime we get to see Maryse on the show, I can't complain about that. Maryse is great. Maryse is great. And actually, she's such a great part of Miz's entire act. I wish that she would be there on a regular basis. So that way, whenever I see Miz on my television, it would make it a little bit more tolerable if Maryse was out there with him. So she came out by herself to interrupt the... And now, having said all that, this still wasn't enough to save this train wreck. So Logan said that his brother, His brother Jake is fighting in Madison Square Garden next weekend. And the crowd booed. He called out The Miz, and Maryse walked out instead. She plugged her reality show before warning Logan Paul never to talk about her kids. Shout out to Tripod for becoming a Sound Off legend. One of our many new channel members who have signed up over the past week. If you want to become a channel member, and you should, hit that join button down below. You can smack that button. It'll give you all the details. So she gets into the ring, and she said that she did not appreciate Logan's comments about Miz's package. And she also was I had no idea at first what she was carrying. It looked like, honestly, it looked like two giant Christmas ornament balls, but I think it was a purse. I think it was a purse in the form of two giant balls. So she's carrying that. She said, Miz had average-sized testicles, and I was reevaluating my life at this point. I was reevaluating my decision to watch the show tonight. Because for those who don't know, I tend to watch Raw at my own pace. Because I don't usually go live every Monday, like I do for the other shows during the week, I'll watch it piecemeal, or I'll, you know, watch it, pause it, come back to it the next day. It's rare anymore that I will sit here and watch it 3 hours straight. And this was the point in the show when I'm listening to her talking about Miz's testicles, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? I was going to pull the whole fucking stream down and say, you know what, fuck this. This ain't even worth it. I have to come on here and review the Miz's balls. So, Paul was wondering, who measures their testicles? He thought that was kind of weird. Miz said that he came out and said that he gave Logan everything. He said if it wasn't for what he taught Logan, he wouldn't have a WrestleMania match. He wouldn't have a SummerSlam match. And he turns around and he challenges Miz. Challenges me. Miz said that he taught Logan everything he knows, but not everything that Miz knows. And Logan told Miz to shut up. Riveting words there. Told him to shut up. And he said, all you do is talk. And I just thought, pot, meat, kettle. Right? Funny, coming from Logan Paul. He said that he always knew Miz had tiny balls. And then Maryse slapped the mic away from his face. Logan congratulated her for having bigger balls than her husband. All this talk about balls, that reminds me. When is Wipeout coming back? Does anybody know? Right, is John Cena still co-hosting Wipeout on TBS? So Ciampa, here comes Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa has had enough of all of this talk about genitalia. And he comes out to the ring and he attacks Logan Paul from behind. Miz went to go help, but Logan slapped him and double-legged him down. Ciampa came over to pull him off, and Miz gave Logan Paul a skull-crushing finale to end the segment. The crowd was so strongly behind Logan Paul. They love Logan Paul so much. They were so strongly behind this guy that after The Miz gave him a skull-crushing finale, they chanted in unison one more time. They wanted to see him lay this guy out for a second time, which, funny enough, I think is exactly what the crowd in Dallas chanted when Miz did the same thing to him at WrestleMania. So they said one more time. This wins the award for the Rawful segment of the night. And you cannot tell me after watching this segment, from the moment Logan Paul started talking and he had that douchey smile on his face and talking about how great he is and everything, you cannot tell me, you cannot convince me that this man should be anything. This man should be booked as anything other than a heel. He is a naturally hateable person. He is a naturally hateable personality when he is out there in the ring. And he should be nothing but a heel. He was born to be a heel. If he's going to do this, that is the role that he was born for. He is being miscast in this role. And it may be a case where that's what he wanted to be. I want to be a babyface. Well, then somebody needs to sit down. Triple H needs to take him by the hand, sit him down, and explain to him exactly why that is a bad idea. Because If that's what they're going to try to do, if they're going to try to babyface this guy, this thing is going to be, this already is a complete fucking failure. This thing is not going to work if the long-term plan is for Logan Paul to be a babyface here. And I trust that Triple H has enough sense to realize this and that they'll course correct after SummerSlam. So backstage, Kevin Patrick introduced the Street Profits and the Usos, and he introduced the special guest referee for their tag team championship match coming up at SummerSlam. Good old Double J, Jeff Jarrett, right? J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T, out here to sell you some Global Force G-O-L-D. So they were in the back, and the teams are bickering, and Jarrett finally tells them both to shut up, and he tells them that he would remember if anybody got out of line, and he told them to keep the peace tonight, and then he walked away. I love the fact that Jarrett showed up in his referee shirt, just to demonstrate that he's the referee on Saturday, right? In case we didn't know. Like, if he showed up in a suit tonight, right? Like everybody else does in the back. He's a WWE executive. If he would have showed up in a suit and tie, I never would have realized what his role was at SummerSlam. But because I saw him in the referee shirt with all the spray tan on him, now I know exactly what his role is at the pay-per-view. So Jarrett admonishes these guys, and then he walks away. And then they start saying their catchphrases, and again, they're yelling at each other, and they're bickering with each other. And Jarrett comes back and looks at them, and they get really quiet. And then Jarrett walks away again. They made these four look like a bunch of children getting schooled by their father. AJ Styles and Dolph Ziggler against Otis and Chad Gable. I would love to tell you that I really enjoyed this match, but I missed most of it because most of it took place during the commercial break. So this was basically a complete fucking waste of time. But I can tell you that in the end, AJ took out Otis with a Pele kick. Gable went for a rolling suplex on Styles. Styles held onto the ropes, and Ziggler put Gable down with a zigzag for the win. Nothing else to say about that. We get to our main event, and our main event of the evening is a trios match. It is the Bloodline. It is Roman Reigns. It is the Usos taking on Matt Riddle and the Street Profits. They went to a break not very long into the... They should just rename this show, They Went to a Break. That should be the name of the whole fucking show. Tonight, WWE presents They Went to a Break. When they came back, the Usos were working over Riddle. Roman Reigns tagged in for the first time, and he picked Riddle apart for a little bit before... Jey Uso tagged in. Riddle managed to tag in Montez Ford, who went on the attack until Roman tagged back in and planted him with a Uranage. And then we got some blood and guts here in the main event of Monday Night Raw. Look at this. Triple H takes over. Triple H's first night, the head of creative in WWE. He has taken the keys from Vince McMahon, drunk with power for so many years. You can't let a drunk person get behind the wheel. He takes the keys from him. Triple H is in charge, very first night, and we got blood in our main event. Now, granted, it was hard way blood, but still, we got blood on this show. No guts, but we got blood. And the way we got blood was Roman threw him face first into the top turnbuckle in the heel corner. And it actually looked like Montez put his arm in there to like protect himself, but I guess he went face first into the top buckle. And he came up, and he was bleeding from the bridge of his nose. And it wasn't long before he was pouring blood. So that tells me that this guy probably broke his nose. So we'll see if he has to wear one of those masks going into the pay-per-view on Saturday. He ain't going to miss that match because of a broken nose. But I'm sure that's not fun to wrestle with, especially if you can't breathe. So we'll see how bad the injury is. But there was a lot of blood. We came back from the final break, yet another break, and Roman was still working over Montez. They cleaned his face off during the break because there was a lot of blood before they went to commercial. And when they came back, most of the blood was gone. So Dawkins bought Ford a quick distraction, which allowed him to, Montez that is, to hit a running blockbuster to Roman, took him down. Finally, that gave him the opening tag out to Matt Riddle. Riddle came in. He wiped out the Usos on a dive to the floor. And in the ring, Reigns dropped Riddle with a Superman punch. And he was going for the cover, but the Ford broke up the pin. Match broke down at this point. Roman took out Dawkins on the floor. Back inside, Riddle caught Roman with the Randy Orton draping DDT. And he was setting up for the RKO. Roman, though, stuffed the attempt and speared Riddle for the win. And it looked like, I saw people even in the chat here before I went live, kind of making fun of the referee and saying, oh, he counted to four. He didn't count to four. So what happened is, if you go back and watch it, when the referee went down to go count the fall, right before he brought his hand down for the one count, he saw that Riddle's shoulder was up. And he told him to put his shoulder down, and he did, and then he counted to three. Well, the fans in the building couldn't see that. So when the referee brought his hand down, they thought he counted one, and he didn't. So he counted to three, and the crowd counted to four. And they gave the referee shit for it, when in reality, he was just doing his job. Because in WWE, you're told to referee it as if it were a shoot. And if the shoulder isn't down, you got to tell the guy to get the shoulder down. So the referee didn't do anything wrong. Roman Reigns wins the match for the Bloodline, and as the Bloodline were leaving, Seth Rollins' music hit. He came out. He laughed in Roman's face as he passed by in the aisle on the way to the ring to attack Riddle. He hit Riddle with the ring steps outside and then gave him a curb stomp on the floor. And then he took Riddle and he leaned him up against the ring steps. And Rollins backed up. He got a running start and he stomped Riddle face first onto the ring steps to close out the final Monday Night Raw before SummerSlam. This was very much a middle-of-the-road show tonight. I thought the first hour was actually pretty good. I thought it was a strong first hour, and then it was a steady decline from there. They fell right back into the usual Monday Night Raw formula until the main event. I actually thought the main event was very good. So, good first hour, good main event, but everything in the middle, not a fan. But again, Rome was not built in a day. Anybody who thought that there would be major, major changes and that the show was going to be completely different on night one, the announcement was only made this morning that he was taking over creative. We have a pay-per-view in 5 days with a card that is already set. Honestly, a major change like this, the best thing to have done would have been to wait until after this show. And coming out of the pay-per-view next Monday, see, to me, that's the show. And even next Monday, you're not going to see that many changes. I think we should start to see some changes, notice some real changes next week. But in terms of fresh stories and fresh matches or the way that television is shot, like all these things people are talking about and people are putting together their top five lists of what, you know, Triple H should do and changes that WWE should make. Again, it's going to take time. We're talking weeks and months. We're not talking days. So I didn't expect a major overhaul. Didn't get one. But again, there were parts of the show that were more enjoyable than usual. Now, SummerSlam this Saturday night in Nashville. Let me just run down the card here. So now the card is set. I guess they could add something on SmackDown on Friday, but let's assume this is going to be the full card here. We've got Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, last man standing. Right, supposedly for the very last time for the WWE and Universal Championship. Raw Women's title on the line. Bianca Belair defends against Becky Lynch. Liv Morgan will defend her SmackDown Women's title against Ronda Rousey. We'll see if Charlotte Flair makes an appearance. Charlotte is going to be in Nashville this weekend. Charlotte is actually going to be at the Ric Flair pay-per-view on Sunday night, and there's at least a chance that maybe she'll even make an appearance. Maybe she'll interfere. If Karen Jarrett tries to get involved, maybe Charlotte shows up and prevents her from getting involved. You know, Vince is gone. All it may take is one phone call from Ric Flair to his old buddy Triple H and say, hey, for one night only, is it okay if Charlotte makes an appearance on this show? And Triple H goes, sure, no problem. You know, we're in uncharted waters here. We don't know what Triple H may or may not allow that Vince McMahon would not allow. So Charlotte will be in town and wouldn't shock me to see her make an appearance here. Just added tonight, no disqualification tag team match. Rey and Dominic Mysterio will take on the Judgment Day, and that seems ripe for an Edge return. We got another one of those creepy vignettes on this show that clearly are for Edge, and it would seem to me SummerSlam would be a good place for him to make a return. I mean, at this point, you know, if Edge were to come back? Would he come back and help the Mysterios win their match? Or would it be more of a case where the Mysterios lose and then the Judgment Day is attacking them post-match and then Edge makes his return? I see it, if Edge is going to be there, I see it more happening that way. And look, the Judgment Day have been booked like a bunch of fucking losers. I know they go around, beat people up, but they lose. They lose more than they should. They lost tonight. So they actually should win that match on Saturday. But if they want to do a post-match angle where Edge returns, that would make sense. Matt Riddle takes on Seth Rollins. Pat McAfee takes on Happy Corbin. And that is actually one of the matches I am most looking forward to on Saturday. I can't believe I just said that out loud, that a Baron Corbin match is maybe the match I'm most looking forward to on the SummerSlam card. I kind of feel like the Pat McAfee and Baron Corbin match on Saturday may end up being the Test and Shane McMahon match of SummerSlam this year. Because Test and Shane McMahon had one hell of a match back in 99. And I remember none of my friends certainly thought that that match was going to be any great shakes. And I was very surprised by how good that match was. So we've seen what Pat McAfee can do in the ring. I don't know that it would be shocking for him to go out there and have a good match. He's had good matches before. But I think that may end up being the Test and Shane match of SummerSlam this year. We've got the tag team titles up for grabs with the Usos defending against the Street Profits with Dubba J as the guest referee. Another one who will be on the Ric Flair show. In fact, he'll be in the main event of the Ric Flair pay-per-view 24 hours later. Logan Paul takes on The Miz, and Bobby Lashley will defend the United States Championship against Austin Theory. Yes, believe it or not, Finn Balor is 40. People are shocked by this, but Finn Balor is 41 years old. He is 41 years old. So I will possibly do my predictions. I don't know if I'll do a live stream on Thursday night with SummerSlam predictions, or I might just wait until Friday. But I'll save the predictions for later in the week. And of course, I will be live after SummerSlam on Saturday night. We'll do the full recap. Then the normal podcast will drop on Sunday. And then I'll go live after the Ric Flair pay-per-view on Sunday night. Because the rest of the card, whatever you think of the Flair match, they've put together, you know, Conrad has actually booked a pretty strong card. He's got talent from different promotions, from Impact, from MLW, from Mexico. People are coming in for that show. And so I'll be tuning into that and going live as soon as it's over. We got a Twitter poll up. It wouldn't be a Solomonster stream if I didn't throw up the Twitter poll to see what people thought of this show. So the first Monday Night Raw of the Paul Levesque regime gets a 44.6% thumbs up score, 39% thumbs in the middle, and 16% thumbs down. You can always vote on Twitter at Solomonster is the handle. I always throw one of these up for you guys to vote in and leave a comment and leave a follow if you are not already following me on there. There's so much going on that I don't know why you wouldn't be following me. I don't know why you wouldn't be subbed. I don't know why you wouldn't be following. I mean, I cannot think of a period where there's been this much craziness in the wrestling world, this much just a ridiculous amount of news that has been breaking. And no story bigger than the stories that we have seen over the last few days, from Friday to Monday. The two biggest wrestling stories of the decade. It's insane what's going on. And it's not over yet. There'll be more to come, I'm sure. Kenny in the chat says that he was at Madison Square Garden tonight. He said the crowd was wild. I thought that said mild. He said the crowd was wild, not mild. I don't know, crowd sounded pretty mild to me in that last hour of the show, outside of the main event. Let's read your super chats. Again, I do always read your super chats here. I will try to answer any questions that you have. So if you want to send them on in, send them now. Send them now before it is too late. Groovy Goose says the next season of Dark Side of the Ring looks very interesting. Oh my God, please. you can do an entire series. A whole season of Dark Side of the Ring could be devoted just to Vince McMahon. Groovy Goose also says, 2022, the year that every prominent McMahon either left or took a leave of absence from the company. Crazy how things work out. You know what's even crazier? We all know what happened with Shane McMahon at the beginning of the year when Vince basically fired him and sent him home. But I saw the report from Wade Keller that Stephanie and Shane are also not on the best of terms. They're not as close as they used to be, so... Shane really is in a lot of ways right now. He's kind of persona non grata around now. Food Hive. My 5.5 year retirement from WWE has ended tonight. Yeah, I got a lot of messages from people saying that they were going to tune into Raw for the first time in a long time. I don't think this was a show that's going to keep those people around. It wasn't that kind of a show. Nayef Alsafar, thank you for the $3.99. Food Hive, Roman has the longest entrance I've ever seen. And he also realized, boy, he sent a whole bunch of Super Chats in. He realized the show is very long. He says, I don't want to hear about AEW's picture-in-picture after going through Raw's random commercials with no warning. And he says, I started watching because Vince was gone. Never expected change, at least not right away. But 3 hours and after a 5 year absence, nothing has changed. Bob the Builder, long term, if WWE's product is better, this might hurt AEW. AEW's whole identity was the alternative. Dave Meltzer also agrees, time will tell. Same thing I said at the beginning of the stream. I said this could actually turn out to be a negative for Tony Khan. So if I'm Tony Khan, I'm not dancing. I'm not tap dancing on the grave. I'm staying a little reserved because I think that could end up blowing up in his face. Jamie Dorsch, who gets their walking papers first, Dunn or Bruce? I say Kevin Dunn. But yeah, he could always dig himself a tunnel right underneath the production truck and make a quick escape. Oh, we got Clamp God. Better Call Saul is better than Monday Night Raw. Well, that's like saying water is wet. What kind of comment is that? Thank you, Clamp God. We've got the Yata Garatsu. Did you catch 83 weeks? I'd say at least watch the 15-minute mark when he talks about the creative process with Vince. Chaotic, and it explains a lot. That is the Bischoff podcast. The answer is no. I did not listen to that. Shawnee in the Wrestling, $4.99 super chat. I thought tonight was all right, which is not how I usually feel. Mad that Judgment Day losing clean. Liked the Rhea beatdown, great main event. Cool zigzag, too. Aussie of Steel. The $7 super chat. Is it just me, or were a lot of the promos tonight hard to understand? I understood them just fine. Are you talking about like the literal audio, or what they were saying? I didn't have an issue understanding what they were saying. Dr. Scorpio, Triple H went from heir apparent to being erased to almost dying to now the head of creative. A wild 4 years. Also, Raw sucked after the first hour. Crazy with the $20 crazy super chat. Holy shit, crazy. Thank you. As I've learned more about wrestling listening to you on your weekly wrestling history videos and details from your reviews that weren't mentioned on the Dark Side of the Ring episodes. This helps me get through the days. Thank you. Well, that's very nice of you. I appreciate that. I have all of the This Week in History segments from last year archived. They're all organized in a playlist right here on the channel. So if you're ever looking to pass the time and you just want to brush up on your wrestling knowledge, or if there's a particular week and there was a big event that week in history, go find the segment. It's all on there. I tried to, you know, drop as many little details as I possibly could, even on stuff that you think you know everything about. And along the way, I learned stuff, too. That's why I enjoy doing those segments. Isaiah Duzon, $5 super chat, showing some love for the channel. Thanks for everything you do, Solomonster. Thank you, Isaiah. The artist formerly known as Natural Born Thriller. Evening. Didn't have a chance, but good riddance that Vince McMahon is gone from WWE for now. Let the slow process for a better WWE begin. Solomonster should head WWE creative. Well, if Paul Levesque needs any help, I'm always here to assist. Shin Akuma, thank you for the $5, Shin. Fire Panda 007, so what happens with NXT 2.0 now that Hunter and Steph are running the show? Remains to be seen, but, you know, his best friend is running NXT now. I can't imagine that Triple H is going to make any kind of major changes. At least not right away. Griga, thank you for the 10. Cheers to Griga. Appreciate it. Chief Running Wolf. I've been a listener since 2018. This is my first super chat. Here's to a new era of WWE, brother. Well, you and I both are saluting to a hopefully much improved era of WWE. I think that's what a lot of people are hoping for. I think people, honestly, they're just so apathetic towards the WWE product for so long that any kind of change is something that they're willing to embrace. Triple H is not perfect, but boy, is he better than what we had before, right? He has to be. How could he be worse? So people embrace it, because even the hint of change gets them excited to, you know, watch the product and hope that things improve. So it'll be fun to follow. Dr. Scorpio, speaking of change, use the code word Solomonster to get a discount on Magic Spoon to change how you eat breakfast in the morning. I will never stop you from plugging my discount codes. Fire Panda, done getting future endeavored, will have Triple H doing the billionaire strut around the arena for months. David Hart with the 1999 super chat. This was good, but as you said, Rome wasn't built in a day. As morbid as it might sound, I was pleasantly surprised to see blood in the main event. I am sure Cody's out there somewhere shedding a tear of joy. Review King MB with the $5 super chat. To be fair to Triple H, NXT didn't have long to try and fight AEW before the rebrand. Imagine if WWF didn't have the 2+ years to catch up to WCW. Robert Heller, what happened to the Edge return, or whoever was supposed to be behind those vignettes? They aired another vignette tonight. Probably going to see Edge at SummerSlam would be my guess. Or certainly no later than Raw next Monday. But I talked on the podcast. If you listened to episode 766 yesterday, I told you that plans were dropped for Edge to be at Madison Square Garden. So you would have known that, Robert, if you listened to the podcast. But thank you, Robert. I appreciate it. Clapstick 77 with a 999. Vince is going to end up like Michael Corleone in The Godfather 3. Lost his wife, his son, and now his company. Maybe he will take a trip with his buddy Ted Turner. Sad end to a great life and career. Well, that's morbid. Suffering in college. Sounds like me back in the day. We got Suffering in College, who says, I'm personally looking forward to how production will change over time. These sets have been the same, just different shape for decades. The SmackDown Fist was the last unique set Raw and SmackDown ever had. Winston Smith, will Triple H let guys have their full names back? No. If you're expecting the current roster members to just go back to, you know, they're all going to start using their names, the answer is no. Now, will there over time be a change where newer people who come in are maybe they're allowed to use their name? My guess would be no, because I think that they're, you know, I think their policy is that they want to have ownership over this stuff. And I don't think that that's going to change now just because Vince is gone. But, you know, we'll see. Again, we don't know. We don't know what Triple H's thoughts are going to be on that kind of stuff, or how it's going to affect people in NXT when they get signed. We don't know. That's a policy, honestly, I don't see that changing. It's like years ago when they passed the Patriot Act, you know? Plenty of presidents have come and gone. They've had the ability, if they wanted, to get rid of the Patriot Act, and they don't. or they didn't, whatever the status of it is now. But that used to be the controversy. It's like people thought, oh my God, you know, they gotta, you know, get rid of this thing now. It's been so many years since the war and everything. And it's like, you, when you give people a certain level of authority, they're not just gonna give it back. You know what I mean? If like you have a president or something, and there's some kind of law passed that gives the president more power that they really shouldn't have, right? And then the next president comes in and says, you know, we're going to change things, right? The likelihood of that person rolling back powers that they now have is very unlikely. So now that they have this policy of changing names so we could own everything, do I see them suddenly abandoning that policy? No, I don't. I think they are going to continue to want to own every aspect of these people. J-Rod, Master P and the No Limit Soldiers. And technically you are one since you work for Hog. Master P and the No Limit Soldiers. That's taken me back to the dying shitty days of WCW. Amiibo Guru with the $5 super chat. Let's keep in mind that Raw and SmackDown Creative is a behemoth compared to NXT. Who knows how long Triple H will want to do this. For now, it's much needed change. Triple H has been waiting for this for years. So unless something happens with his health, Triple H is not giving this up anytime soon. I love the idea that, you know, who knows? He might just decide one day that, you know what, I really don't want to do this. You know how long he's been waiting for this moment? You really think he's going to give that up? And he's going to have a long leash, too, because his wife is the CEO of the company. So he'll have plenty of room to fail before he succeeds. First-timers, sorry, kid, Creative doesn't have anything for you. Triple H, head of Creative and Talent Relations. Yeah, that's another reason why I don't think Triple H is going to last much longer as the head of Talent Relations. I think they're going to want to find other people or another person because they're the bad guy. You know, they're the hatchet man. I don't think Triple H wants to be the hatchet man. I think Triple H wants to be the Triple H that he was in NXT, who's revered. And everybody loves him, and everybody praises him. And, you know, you don't get to be that person if you're the Johnny Ace, and you've got to make phone calls and tell people that their services are no longer needed. I don't think he's going to want that role long term. Why would he? Bobby's World. Missed Raw due to work, but my girlfriend kept me posted. Sounds like the show might at least be watchable, and that is reason enough to be excited. Podcast Legend Killers. The first thing Triple H needs to do is re-sign names. We got Anna, the gay manic magician. If Bruce and Kevin both get axed, no more excuses. Darth Panic. What are they doing with Edge creatively? Why all the vignettes? It's not like they are debuting a new talent. The word on the street is that we might be getting the Rated R Superstar back. So that's why you're seeing all these little imagery, all these images of past feuds and rivals from Edge's career, moments from his career. Fire Panda, hopefully they do the right thing and retire the Universal Championship and bring back the World Heavyweight Championship. Roman would look like a god with it. Roman Reigns with the big gold belt. I think that we need to get those titles off of Roman Reigns. So I have no interest in seeing Roman Reigns with the big gold belt because I think Roman has had two belts and he's had that Universal title for long enough. But Cody wearing the big gold belt, that would be, I think, a good look for. The Barf Nuggets, 24. With Triple H in charge of creative, who on the main roster will benefit the most? for me, I think it's either Balor or KO. I don't know about individual people. I think the NXT talents that are yet to be called up, they're the ones that are going to benefit the most. And DeMarcus Partey, I just joined the stream, so sorry if you answered the question already, but what do you see happening if the Triple H era is a complete disaster? I don't believe the Triple H era will be a complete disaster. I don't see how it can be any worse than what we have seen over these last several years, 10 years. I don't see how it could be any worse. As soon as I say that, I say, I don't think it could be any worse. I see Bully Ray pop up on screen. Which just goes to show you that, in fact, it could always get worse. That was Stephen Chapa. I got to get to Paul Heyman here in a second, but Stephen Chapa with the $30 Bully the Clown super chat drop. Today, I realized that it's been little over 10 years since I first heard you in college back in 2012. One of my friends did a communications project and sent you a question for the mailbag. Now I live to get the Bully the Clown chat. Yeah, you are sort of the keeper of the Bully the Clown chat. Every time I hear the chat, I said it must be Steven. Thank you, Steven, for the $30. I appreciate it. We've got Paul Heyman with the $5 super chat. What if Kevin Dunn leaves WWE and starts working indies and becomes the Hog World Champion? Well, he would not be wrestling, but wouldn't it be something, after everything that I've said about Kevin Dunn over all these years, and other people who have actually had to deal with him, the stories that they've told, wouldn't it be something if I come to the next House of Glory show and they give me the great news that I'm now working for Kevin Dunn because Kevin Dunn is now the director of production for House of Glory? I feel like that would be the end of the Solomon Monster in House of Glory. You know, something like that would happen. I would show up and the promoter would tell me that Kevin Dunn is now my boss who I report to. I don't even want to think about that. We've got Boots. If you could repackage The Miz, what would you do? You know what? I've heard enough about The Miz's package tonight. I don't really have any ideas for this. I really don't. I don't know what I would do with The Miz, because The Miz is not somebody who I would feature in a prominent role. I mean, he'd be on the show. I would use him in some way, but my main focus would be almost anybody but The Miz at this point. I would want to make sure that those people get the attention that they need and I can get them over, and then I would worry about The Miz. Tripod with the $5 super chat. Balor yelling it's my birthday was the most unintentionally funny moment since Mankind screamed the sauce hurt his eyes and The Rock said it's mild. Well, my personal favorite moment from that is just him answering the phone and telling the person on the other end of the line that Mankind's a little tied up. He's a little busy right now. And then kicking him in the head. Fire Panda. Okay, okay. Other than Cody, who would look best with the big gold belt? You can't say that. I gave you your answer. I told you. It's Cody Rhodes. I told you. It's Cody. Who else would look good with the big gold belt? Almost anybody. It's a beautiful belt. It's a beautiful looking championship belt. I mean, it's not the winged eagle, but, you know. Pretty much on almost anybody. I mean, hell. I'm trying to think of people who haven't already held it. Sheamus actually already had it. I'm trying to think of somebody who hasn't. You know, pretty much almost anybody. Maybe Montez Ford one day will have the big gold belt around his waist. What do you think about that? Could very well happen. I should check and see, actually, if there's any kind of a health update on Montez Ford, who I'm almost positive has a broken nose, but I don't see any update, so I'm sure it's not serious enough to take him out of the match on Saturday, but anyway, busy day. Very busy day, full of news and developments, and this Vince McMahon story is not going away. So I am most interested to see if the Wall Street Journal will drop another story this week. We'll see what happens with that HBO Real Sports segment. The Brian Gumbel show supposedly is working on something. You know, they were working on it before the news broke on Friday that he was leaving. And I would certainly hope that that doesn't kill the story, because if they have some stuff that they've discovered, I sure would like to know about it. So I'm waiting with bated breath to see exactly what else might come out on this stuff. And again, the first night of the Triple H era was a very subdued night because they have a pay-per-view coming up starting next week. Yeah, it was where we, I think, will really start to see his imprint on these shows. And then we'll see. It's going to be a long process, but I think we have to have hope and we have to have optimism, because it's something that we just have not been able to have for a very long time. And now that we have somebody new in there, I know Triple H is not exactly new, but I mean, he's new to that position. We have to give him the benefit of the doubt and give him a chance to acclimate himself and see where it goes. This is a change that so many people have been waiting for, myself included, for so long. You know, we have to give the guy a chance. And if he fails, then I'll be here to tell you that he failed. But I've seen what he can do. I've seen what he can do, and I know he wants to make this work. You know, what he told the talent in that meeting before the show tonight about how, I want this to be transparent, and I want the lines of communication to be open, I want this to be fun. That's the key word there, fun. There's a certain fun about these shows as a fan watching them that hasn't been there in a very long time. I want Triple H to not just make it fun for the talent behind the scenes, I want him to make it fun for the fans who sit through this every week. What elements of the show will he change to make it more fun? One thing Triple H was doing when he was running NXT, even before Tony Khan started doing it, he would have these media calls. Now, he wouldn't do the media scrums the way that Tony Khan does them now, and I like that, and I would like to see WWE do something similar. Will Triple H bring that back? Will he bring back media calls? Will he do like a post-show scrum? That was something he was doing before. Again, stuff like that. I would like to see him revive that and bring something like that back. So, I mean, again, you could come up with any number of things that you'd like to see him do. These things are going to take time. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and be patient, because I think that in the end, this is going to be a very positive move for this company. And it's going to make the product, I think, more fun to follow and a little more tolerable to sit through. What more could you ask for? Fire Panda says, imagine the Demon Balor with the big gold belt. I think the Demon Balor is still in his final resting place after falling off the top rope against Roman Reigns. Winston Smith, there's the million dollar man on my screen. Look at all that money. Look at all those dollar bills. Winston says, did you enjoy Triple H in Blade Trinity? I did not see Triple H in Blade Trinity. I am not a fan of the Blade movies. I just never saw them. I saw pictures of Triple H in the movie with the contact lenses in and everything, but I did not see the Blade movie, so I have no comment on how he was. I didn't see that other crappy movie that he made, the Chaperone or whatever it was. I don't think I've seen any of the Triple H movies that he's been in. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha. I know I may be just thinking out of the box, but hopefully we'll get real creative designs for titles and not just laziness. Well, I got bad news for you. For the person who asked before about, will there be a changing as far as people being allowed to use their names, and I said the answer is very likely no. I can pretty confidently say probably not on the title belts too. That's another thing I think that's here to stay, because I think the company loves it. And Triple H is always tweeting stuff out, like after the World Series and the Super Bowl. he's the first person. He's put pictures up there. They send those logo belts to the teams, right? So they'll wear them at the parade and everything, like whoever the champions are. And they love it because they're standing there on camera and there's this giant WWE logo. So the big gold belt is a beautiful belt, but it's got no company ID on it. It's like a little tiny logo on there. They love their giant fucking logo belts. So I got bad news for you. I don't think that that's going to change. Do I think Paul Heyman and Jim Cornette should run creative? No. Jim Cornette is done. Jim Cornette doesn't leave his house. They don't need Jim Cornette. Paul Heyman, yes. Paul Heyman should absolutely assist Triple H on the creative end of this company. I don't know if that means give him one show and give the other show to somebody else and have Triple H oversee the whole thing, or, you know, they just kind of work together on the overall creative vision that they have for it. But Paul Heyman is a resource that they absolutely should take advantage of. Jake Winans with the $4.99. I went to WWE event in person for the first time in a year. Crowd was hot for Mysterio, but seemed lukewarm until the main event outside of that. It certainly came across that way on TV. They got real quiet in that second and third hour outside of the main event. The main event was very good. Bliss Fan, you should be very happy about the Alexa stuff, because she made a statement tonight on the show that she put the champion on notice. She said, Bianca, Becky, whoever it is coming out of SummerSlam, you're going to get the old Alexa back. I'm coming for my belt. So if you're an Alexa Bliss fan, she has now given her mission statement. I'm sure Bliss Fan is very happy about that. JM, channel member for 10 months. Says, I just woke up. It's 7 in the morning where I live, and I'm so happy I could join the stream. Thank you for your hard work. Well, JM, I am very happy that you are able to join for the stream. 7 a.m. where you are. I'm trying to think where that might be. You are in a land far, far away from New York. So I wish you good morning wherever you may be. Takeshita back to DDT. Is that true? Is Takeshita going back to DDT? Is he going back to Japan? I'm very sad to hear that. Do I think Bret Hart should be part of the creative team? No. Bret Hart does not want to travel anymore. He said he's going to be traveling very little from now on. I don't blame him. And Bret Hart needs to enjoy his retirement. He seems to be in a good place now, finally, in his life. He's enjoying life. Why the hell would he want the stresses of WWE creative? You think Bret Hart wants to work with Triple H? Are you out of your mind? Even now, the comments that he'll make about Triple H, he's not exactly fond of him. So, no, I do not need to see Bret Hart working in WWE creative. We got Turtlehead. $4.99. Put that Solomonster belt on the line. I told you to pick the steps. Stop ducking me. You don't deserve it. You need to deserve a title match. You've done nothing. You haven't even been in the championship contenders match. You get shit from me. That belt is going nowhere. In fact, when I go food shopping this week, I'm going to take the belt with me. I'm going to put the belt around my waist. I'm going to go to the supermarket. I'm going to go up and down every aisle. I'm going to have that Solomonster belt around my waist. All right, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Darth Panic, thank you for the $2. Says, have you or anyone seen Subway Mania? Yes, I have. The Subway Mania folks actually sent me, this is a while ago now, but one of their last videos, they sent me a link to it. So, yes, I have seen Subway Mania before. So let's start with the men's Be the Booker here. We're going to try to book our own matches here, have some fun with this, take this for a spin, see what we come up with. See if Triple H is a better booker than me. What do you think? Let's see. We've got Drew McIntyre, who is very likely going to be going to the main event of Clash at the Castle in September. Former WWE champion Drew McIntyre stepping into the ring to go one-on-one with the late loose cannon, Brian Pillman. I like that match. I just wish that we had a healthy Brian Pillman. Healthy Brian Pillman, that'd be a lot of fun. Fused ankle, post-accident Brian Pillman. Probably very limited in what he can do. But I think that'd be a very good match, actually. Let's take the ladies, be the booker here for a spin. I like that match, actually. Drew McIntyre and Brian Pillman. Here on the women's side, speak of the devil. How appropriate for tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, take a look at who you see on your screen. To your left, it is the new head of creative in WWE. It is Triple H. And to the right, it is Triple H's favorite gal, not named Stephanie. It is Poppy. Poppy for WWE creative. In fact, now that Triple H is in charge, I expect to see Poppy pop up on many shows. Poppy could be the official, the official mascot of WWE. This may be one of the better parts of Triple H now being in power. It'll be the return of Poppy. Now we got some people in the chat. Who the fuck is Poppy? You obviously never saw the NXT TakeOver shows. Poppy went away when Triple H left NXT. So we'll see who Poppy is going to be popping in. There's Tony Khan. Tony, get out of the snow. Tony, I keep telling him to get out of that stuff. Every time I see him, he's got that white shit right around his nose. Got Poppy going one-on-one. Oh, good Lord. Oh, my God. Poppy against Dixie Carter. Ugh. Let's get away from this. Go to the tag teams. And we have got the Godwins. Henry O. and Phineas. Hog and Pig. The Godwins. Or the former Shanghai Pierce. Going to be stepping into the ring to take on the team of Money Incorporated. You want to see beautiful belts. Those are tag team belts right there. The old WWF Tag Team Championship belts. Money Inc. against the Godwins. If it were Money Inc. against almost anybody else, I would give it the bell, but the Godwins are in there, so I gotta give it the buzzer. One out of three tonight. I shall try to do better next time. Draven Lord, thank you for the $4.99. Do you think it was Shane who sent the emails to the Wall Street Journal out of spite? Oh, I don't know. Let's evaluate the situation here, shall we? Shane is supposedly not on great terms with his sister. And Shane, I'm sure, is also not such a great fan of Triple H. So he would have to know that a move like this would only benefit them. So no, I don't think Shane had anything to do with this. Who would benefit Shane? I wonder, who on the board of directors would benefit from what has gone down? I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine, even though now we see that Stephanie McMahon, who is on the board of directors, is now the chairwoman and CEO of the entire company, and Triple H is now the head of creative, and they have both been elevated to the top positions in the company. But I just can't imagine who would have done such a thing? Who would have possibly leaked this news that would ultimately elevate Triple H and Stephanie to the positions that they now find themselves in? I don't know, man. It's hard. It's hard to figure out. I can't put my finger on it. But what a comeback story. What a resurrection. I'm going to be talking about this comeback for years. It is the dawning of a new day in WWE, and I am going to be back live on Wednesday night. We got to talk AEW Dynamite. Hopefully we'll have a better show, better main event than we had last week. Not a big fan of the barbed wire crap. So we'll talk Dynamite on Wednesday, and shoot for SummerSlam predictions later this week. We got SmackDown to talk about on Friday, SummerSlam on Saturday, one of the biggest pay-per-views all year. And the SummerSlam reviews actually usually do some of the best numbers I do all year. So I need you guys to come out and support and join me live and like the videos. If you want to, if you're late to the stream, if you missed the super chat portion, you could always drop a super thanks after the fact. I do see all the comments. That's a super thanks thing. I know I don't mention it enough, but it is enabled on the channel. It's like a little tip jar. And then live on Sunday night for Ric Flair's last... I can't even say that with a straight face. Ric Flair's last match. So, yeah, a lot of content. A lot of wrestling, a lot of content coming up this week. I think I've got all your messages covered. I think we did it, guys. I think I got through them all. Bring back Sean Mooney. What are you telling me for? Go tell Triple H. Send him a tweet. Tag him in a tweet and tell him you want Sean Mooney back. You want to bring back the event center. We got DKK dropping a late super chat here. Getting it in right at the buzzer. He's getting it in right at the buzzer here. He's got the buzzer beater. Says, I live in Denmark, and I have been listening to you since 2012. It's JM. I thought it was DKK. It's JM. So he is in Denmark, and he just dropped $23 here on the stream. Been listening since 2012. Found me on TV Tracks. You know, I hear that from so many people. Many years ago, who first heard clips of the show on TV Tracks. And that's very cool. Boots with the $5. Vince would not do business, so somebody did business for him. Hit that like button. Bring back Raw Underground. Now, I think Raw Underground needs to stay dead and buried. DKK is the currency. Okay, well, that makes sense then. That's the currency in Denmark. DKK, what does that stand for, though? I don't know what that actually stands for. Do I think Triple H will get MJF? It's possible. MJF, if he's going to pay him enough money. I think MJF is going to go where the money goes. Wherever the money goes, so goes MJF. So it comes down to how bad does Triple H want him. All right, guys. I'm going to get out of here. It's getting late. It's almost 2 o'clock in the morning for a stream I was not planning on doing when I woke up this morning. But you came out in full force tonight. It's not a night that we usually go on, and you killed it. We had well over 2,000 in here earlier. So thank you for that. Hit that like button on the way out. And again, I will see you guys live again on Wednesday night for the AEW Dynamite stream. Thank you again. Take care, guys.